about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let this abomination unto the Lord begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm retarded. What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
Then why does your face look like that?
Like what?
Ugly. Zing. High five.
That's real talk right there, man.
Anyway, it's happening tonight at the Wiltern Theater. I hope you all have a front row at the Wiltern Theater on Wiltshire and Western in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Hey, guys, I have a bet with a friend. I was wondering if you could help settle it. Who did Mulder and Scully work for on the show The X-Files? You know, what government agency? Bane, do you have any idea?
And now...
I think I know what you mean.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. And it's
what?
It's a Monday morning.
Who's that?
What's happening?
I don't know. The monkey's returned.
I know.
Yeah. What a great weekend, too.
He doesn't seem very spiffy, if I could be honest.
Thanks, Lisa. I just started.
I know. I didn't sense a lot of energy.
No.
Kevin, what's going on with you? What's the deal? What's the story? What's the haps?
It's just, you know, flu.
Oh, God.
And you go in and
it just hangs on.
I don't know. You have some kind of... They don't know.
A bug.
You have a bug. That's what they say to everyone for everything.
Right.
Right.
And then they, you know, they pat you on the head and they go, you go home, drink some soup, and then just call
get
us
some
back.
Rest.
Get some rest.
Yeah.
So I did that. Okay. And then I went back the next day and he's like, yeah, you know, it's some sort of bug. And then... Okay.
You're not eating enough soup.
And the next day. And they actually give you soup. They gave me soup at the doctor's
did
office.
Did they really?
Which is odd. Like,
never had that.
I don't trust you when you go home to
is that
soup.
Considered real medicine now? That's not just something your mom says? Now it's actually part of the official medical treatment now?
Well, it is if you lose a lot of fluids.
So it had
like
electrolytes
I was.
In it. Yeah.
I mean, if you lose, I wish, Bean, if you lose a lot of fluids, then you need to replace the fluids. So,
right.
And it was either that or an IV. So I was like,
oh, I see.
Right,
I'll take the soup.
I'll
right.
take the soup.
Wow.
I hate needles. So
it must have killed you to be so sick to have to miss that Galaxy game yesterday.
I actually went to that.
Oh, I see.
That was the one thing that I did. And here's what's funny is because I had tickets and then I had other people that were meeting me there and all the tickets were under my name.
Oh.
And I wanted to go. But I hadn't done anything since Thursday. Thursday I was in bed all day, Friday all day, Saturday all day, Sunday in the morning. I was like, I've got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Plus these people are counting on me, blah, blah, blah. So I drive down there and then I get a text from them going, oh, my kid's sick. I'm sorry, I can't go.
So now I'm
by myself. But I thought, well, you know, I want to enjoy it. I've been looking forward to this, so this is going to be great. And about the second half, I started going, wow, I feel pretty tired. I sure should. And then I have to drive home. And
this is a long way.
Not sure I can do that.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
Would Comic-Con would have killed you.
Yes.
If you'd have gone to Comic-Con, you actually would be dead by now.
Yeah, it's not just that morning show. It's that you do so much the rest of the day. That's what I started feeling as I was throwing up near LAX.
on your way to San Diego.
Well, here's the thing. I'm an eternal optimist. I keep thinking, oh, well, this will be fine. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Packed everything, got ready to go, got in the car, started driving, started feeling like really nauseous, going, oh, it'll go away, no problem. Then I finally had to pull over by LAX and throw up.
Right.
So then I turned around and went back home.
And then even if you had made it to San Diego,
yes.
You couldn't abide by the King of Mexico going to the Playboy party and the Maxim party and the South Park party and all the other stuff that's going on around Comic-Con. You'd be on your deathbed going, yeah, but I have to go to that.
Right. And it drove me crazy.
It would be like an addict lining his room with drugs and alcohol and thinking that he wasn't going to touch it.
Yeah. It drove me crazy that people were down there having fun and I wasn't.
Yeah.
It just drives me out of my mind. I just think, oh, why can't this just be a regular weekend where everyone's bored? Comic-Con's going on. I was looking forward to that for a long time and we had all those parties lined up. And
yeah,
that was,
you missed
that
quite
it,
the event.
That made it so much worse. But so I'm here.
Yay.
Barely.
Just barely.
Well, let me just, I have a very quick story to tell you guys. There's not enough details. In fact, the only report I can find is from Channel 3 in Hartford, Connecticut, on a man in Glastonbury, which is a suburb there, who got into a fight with his mother that escalated from a verbal argument to a physical altercation.
Oh,
he essentially was beating up his mom.
Oh, no.
But he had a good reason, because...
No, there's no good reason.
Well, you say that until you hear it. Now, I want you to remember what you just said, and now listen to the story, and you tell me if maybe he didn't have a point. And it doesn't say how old Michael Escribano is. I'm assuming he's a teenager. His photo looks very young, and his parents bought him a car, yet he had wanted a leather interior and a sunroof, and it had neither. So you can see why he was mad.
Wow.
I'm not saying he didn't have a reason. That's my point. After the altercation with his mother, police said, Escribano fled on foot, was located a short time later, was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct, assault, interfering with an officer, and threatening. Just threatening, by the way. I don't know threatening who.
Well, that's weird.
Being held on $25,000 bond and appeared in Manchester court this past Friday. Look, it's 2011, man. You can't drive around with a cloth interior, right? I mean,
well,
come on.
That's true. I mean,
what were his parents thinking, unloading a dump like that on him? And no sunroof? You want this guy to be able to get a date or not? See, I told you he had reasons.
I'm guessing his parents didn't want him to get a date. That's probably why they got him that car.
He fled on foot. That's how much he hated that car.
I like that.
He wouldn't even drive that car. I'm not even going to get in that car.
Couldn't even get away. He was one block away.
That's right.
By the time the police caught him.
See, I told you he had a reason.
Good point.
Okay. Yeah, sure. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
I'm a winner, and you're a whore.
Okay. That could be true. We are going to give you some more highlights of Comic-Con. Apparently, you guys did a bunch of interviews after the show on Friday.
Yes, there was far too much going on. I mean, it was action-packed wall-to-wall all day Thursday, all day Friday, but then there was still much more to do afterwards, including TV's Batman Adam West. Including the and Lisa, are you watching this Warehouse 13 on the Sci-Fi Channel?
I haven't been. Is it?
Man, would you like it? Man, is
really?
It a show for?
It's good.
Well, it's really good. Yeah, really, really good. And we talked to the charismatic young stars. And by the way, she's so hot, that chick on that show, Joanna. Oh my God,
whatever her name is.
Joanna. Yeah, she's unbelievably hot and Canadian too, and I like them. Anyway, so we talked to them, and also a movie coming out next month called Conan the Barbarian. We sat down with Alex's next husband, Jason Momoa, who is Conan, and he of course is also one of the stars of Game of Thrones, and a young actress by the name of Rachel Nichols.
Aww. How'd that go, B? How'd your big moment go? This is the first time B met her.
Mm-hmm.
After
first
all-
time I've met her in person after being her boyfriend online and having her on the radio many, many times for years.
Boyfriend online. That's pathetic.
Hey, those are her words, not mine.
That's pathetic.
I did meet her in person, and I did impregnate her.
No, you did.
With my mind.
I can guarantee.
With my mind.
I can guarantee you that went poorly.
She, you know what?
Bean has the opposite of game.
He can be charming online.
Yeah.
Right.
But until you meet me?
It. Well, yeah.
We've said this before. There are some people who are so unbelievably nice that if you blew it, you wouldn't know it because they just pretend like they're happy with
true.
You. You
right.
know what I mean? And I think Rachel may be one of those like extraordinarily lovely people to do that. But I think it went well. And the movie, by the way, looks awesome. The movie looks really, really good. So we caught up with them. So we got that interview as well.
Was he a spaz?
Comic-Con.
Was that dude a spaz?
No, not at all. He's very mellow, very cool.
I saw him at UFC, the last UFC fight, and he was just bouncing all over the place.
Oh, really?
This is great. I just love this. I just love this. This is great. Not to suggest anything was going on, but wow, was he hyper. I love this, man. I just love these guys train. They get in there and they just fight each other. I was like, dude, slow down. You have time. Take it easy. So he wasn't like that. All right, good. And you got Adam West. So what else do you need?
I know. TV's Batman. By the way, first time I ever met him in person, too.
What?
I live on an island. I don't see people. I don't see people. I don't know people.
I know, but
it's a big thrill. Huh. I know, right?
Weird.
Also, Sal Masekela on today talking about the X Games because they're coming up this week, don't you know? He is the on-air host and great dude. Always love it when we can catch up with Sal.
He is the best.
Super good dude.
Beer Mug apparently was on the red carpet for Captain America.
Oh, Beer Mug. Beer Mug.
Were we out of people?
Oh, no.
What is happened? That what happened?
Well, why do you say that, Bean?
Because he's awesome. Because Beer Mug is so beer muggy.
He is pretty beer muggy.
he's so much more beer muggy than anyone else I know.
That's true.
Excellent work.
We're going to talk to the drummer for Muse, Dom.
Okay.
Howard. We're going to talk to him.
on the program today. Very excited about that. Can't wait for that show, which is Saturday night. Hard to believe already. And Harvey from TMZ.com. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Coming up after the top of the hour, my man Kevin has a story about breaking into a house. Can't wait to hear about that. That's on the way. Also, TV's Batman Adam West next hour. Ralph Garman, you survived San Diego.
So Kevin was in prison over the weekend? Is that where he was?
That's correct.
Maybe so. We'll find out. How'd it go after I last saw you on Friday? How was the rest of your Comic-Con?
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's too much, right? Can't
do Comic-Con anymore.
They schedule Ralph like 700 things a day.
Well, it was just worse this weekend because we also were doing the Hollywood Babylon show down at the House of Blues on Friday night. And I was broadcasting live from down there Thursday, even before Bean came down on Friday. So it was really just nonstop.
It's too much.
I didn't go to a party.
Wow.
I didn't.
What
have
about
time.
Saturday, though? Saturday was your free day.
Yeah, I met up with some friends who were down there promoting other projects for dinner around 6 o'clock and had dinner with them and a couple drinks for a couple hours. Then I was going to go back to the room and shower and go to the one party I could make on Saturday night, and I just couldn't. Leave the room.
Bring yourself to.
I said, I need to lay down right now or I'm going to die.
You might schedule yourself a little much on those weekends.
It was a rough one, but it was fun. It was a good time. Met a lot of very nice people, and we talked about some great movies and projects. So, I mean, I really can't complain, but it's just a grueling marathon of stuff to do down there. I didn't get a chance to see the convention until Saturday afternoon. Wow. I finally got on the floor of the convention to look around and see what was new down there.
And you got there Thursday.
I got there Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday afternoon. So it is really a blast, but it can kick your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, good times were had by all. Especially the people with Captain America, I'm sure, as they look at the results of this weekend's box office.
How'd they do?
Captain America, number one in its debut this weekend. $65.8 million it made this weekend. It's not Harry Potter numbers, but really what is going to get Harry Potter numbers? Very good opening for Captain America. Harry Potter was right behind it with $48 million. Then Friends with Benefits, the new romantic comedy starring Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake. $18.5 million in its opening weekend.
Transform- Anyone see
that? No.
No.
Not had a chance to.
Come on. Why?
Because of Mila Kunis? That's why.
Yeah.
I just want to know if it's good. That's all.
Is that the only thing you can see her in? Is that the only place she's available?
No, but is she in a movie where she's Friends with Benefits?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's it. It's a good enough reason.
Her ass is a body double, by the way.
It is?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she revealed this week that she refused to do it, so they had to cast a ass double. And so they brought in a bunch of girls, and she and the director and the makeup artist all watched these girls drop their pants and show their asses. It's an interesting audition.
We need to talk to ass doubles.
Ass doubles,
yes.
At some point.
You're an ass double. Feel free to call us. Transformers Dark of the Moon was fourth. Horrible Bosses was fifth. Then Zookeeper, Cars 2, Winnie the Pooh, Bad Teacher, and Midnight in Paris rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. It happened Saturday, so by now I'm sure everyone knows, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention Amy Winehouse was found dead this weekend. Found Saturday in her London apartment, apparent victim of a drug overdose. The official cause of death has not been released because there's still an autopsy pending, but the results should be due tomorrow, so we should find out more or less what happened.
You ever been less shocked by news of a young person dying? I mean, I barely raised an eyebrow when I saw it. I went, well, that as expected.
Her mother said, well, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
When your mom says that, wow.
Well, look, everyone knew that she was just so in the grip of addiction that no one really saw her climbing out of it.
And the police came out and said, oh, hey, everybody, take it easy. It's not an OD yet. We don't know.
Don't jump to conclusions.
Could be natural causes
sure, at
27.
Yeah.
She could have fallen down the stairs.
Right.
So now, officially now, Beer Mug is the worst-looking 27-year-old in the world, right, in terms of the damage to his body, right? Now that Amy Winehouse is gone, Beer Mug holds the crown.
If you're a bad-looking 27, give us a call now. If you're a bad-looking ass double, even more, we'd like to talk to you. Scary medical news for Joshua Jackson. He had a close call Thursday night. He was rushed to the hospital in Santa Monica here in California because he had an acute allergic reaction.
Ooh.
No word on what he's allergic to, but it was bad enough that they had to rush him to the ER. But he was treated and walked out a short time later with his girlfriend, Diane Kruger, by his side. Not a bad way to walk out of a hospital, by the way. So we're glad Josh was fine because I need me some fringe. So get back to work. J. Joshua Jackson. You are for real. Then Roethlisberger, the Pittsburgh Steelers, found an interesting way to kill some time during the lockout. He got married this weekend.
What?
Yeah, tied really? That out with his fiance.
Married him?
Ashley Harlan is her name. Huh. And Steelers coach Mike Tomlinson was in attendance along with other members of the Steelers. They all had to get special permission to get together because of the lockout.
They couldn't just get together for a wedding?
Isn't that weird? Apparently, you're not allowed to assemble as a team.
Wow.
Because you are locked out.
What, do they think he's going to look at films at his wedding?
Well, they did have a little scrimmage during the reception, so maybe they had a point. Yeah. Apparently, players and front office people aren't allowed to be in the same room with each other at the same time.
Wow.
So because the coach was there and some other execs from the Steelers and some players at the same time, they had to get a special dispensation from the National Football League.
That makes sense. I mean, you can certainly understand that rule. They don't want negotiating going on outside of authorized channels, sure.
But I think the dealers were going to cut a deal separately from the rest of the league.
I don't know.
I don't think there was any danger. I don't think Goodell was there hammering stuff out over the buffet table with some contracts.
Ralph, since you brought up the NFL,
is there...
What?
I'm just kidding. What?
Is there...
What? Yes?
Any truth, even a glimmer of truth, to the report yesterday that the Eagles might want Brett Favre as a backup quarterback?
I've looked into that once I got the news, and apparently Brett is putting feelers out to many teams.
It's unbelievable.
The Eagles apparently are one of them. I don't know if there's any significance to it, or they're, you know, I can't imagine that they're seriously considering it, but who knows? Look, if he is willing to be a backup in the National Football League,
of course.
I think there are a ton of teams who would have him sitting on the bench ready to go in if something happened with their starter.
As long as he doesn't have to start.
I don't think he's making that a stipulation anymore. Used to be, he said, I got to be the man. Now I think he just wants to play and he's willing to take a backup position.
Plus, there may be something to having a guy like Brett Favre be available to assist with quarterback stuff. You know, being able to help younger quarterbacks come up, or, you know, he has some good ideas, some good experiences.
By all accounts, though, he's no teacher. You know,
oh, really?
he's not a guy who brings along other guys, all that well. And he's not known for his sort of technical efficiency. He's a gunslinger. He goes out there and pretty much plays it on the fly. So he doesn't
sort of breaks all the rules.
Yeah. So I don't think he would be a good choice to kind of be an X's and O's guys for a quarterback.
Look, if you're just about to get caught, just push it or throw it or kick it or just do something.
And he does all those things.
And he gets away with it.
I think it's a bad idea, especially for the Eagles, because they're my team, first of all. And I don't think you want a Brett Favre on the bench should your starter start to struggle week 4, week 5 or something, have a couple bad games, and then the fans start screaming for put Brett Favre in, and then you get a big controversy. I don't think any team really needs that, unless you have a young quarterback who would be struggling, and you would be able to sub out as a quick fix situation to put a veteran in there. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'd get a jersey, though. I'd get a Favre Eagles jersey if he signed with the team, sure. Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid, you know, the real one, the one he acknowledges, his 13-year-old son Christopher had a surfing accident last weekend. It resulted apparently in a collapsed lung and several broken bones.
Wow.
But People Magazine says he's okay. He's on the mend, so all is well. Now you know why Arnold keeps making more, because his kids are accident prone, apparently, so you got to keep the stock. Vanilla Ice sounds a little jealous of Justin Bieber. He did an interview with the Huffington Post saying that Bieber will be forgotten in a few years. Because
Why is the Huffington Post interviewing Vanilla Ice?
Well, I guess he was a big flash-in-the-pan star of the moment, and they think Justin Bieber has a similar situation, so they wanted some perspective, I guess. Vanilla Ice says he wrote Ice Ice Baby when he was 16 years old, same age as Justin. He said, the experience is like a weekend that lasts 3 years, but it's going to pass, and it's going to be entertaining to watch Justin Bieber put all the pieces back together again.
Nice. Yeah.
No jealousy? Kidding. Then the best part of the story is he came out and said via Twitter, I never said that. They made that story up. And then Huffington Post said, well, why don't we listen to the audio from the interview that we've got while we were talking to you. So made him look like an ass. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tara Patrick, adult film star, turns 35 years old today. Actor Matt LeBlanc is 44. Ileana Douglas, another talented actress, is 46 years old. And Thurston Moore, guitarist for Sonic Youth, is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll be talking to the drummer for a band called Muse, Dominic Howard. Super nice dude in town for LA Rising this weekend. And we've got Dom on the program today, plus more of our interviews from Comic-Con just behind us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
So last week I was sick, starting I think on Monday even. I was having trouble.
You weren't well.
Not throwing up.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse. There's really nothing worse than throwing up or the possibility of it.
That nausea.
That couple of seconds before is actually worse than the actual throwing up. But anyway, so Monday I did okay. Tuesday, Wednesday. Now I'm starting to feel really bad and I'm driving home and I'm just thinking, you know, I can make it home. That's your goal, is just to get to the next place where you can actually throw up safely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez.
Without, you know, making a huge mess.
Yeah. It's the fear from the other end.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You have no control over it. You have control over it for about 2 seconds. That's it. That's the total length of time that you can, as a human being, control that urge.
Yes.
About 2 seconds. So I'm driving home, and I just feel like, wow, I just got to get home. This is crazy. And my car starts making all kinds of noise.
Oh, no.
Like the back. I'm like, oh, man. Because at that point, I'm still thinking, all right, I might not be able to make it to work Thursday, but then I am going to Comic-Con, so I need to get my car fixed. So I stopped on the way home to drop off my car, which is near my home. So I had the guy, you know, take me home, and they were working on my car. And I left my keys in my car.
Of course you did.
So now I get home.
Including your house keys.
Yes.
Yeah, all your keys. I got you. Okay.
Yes. So now I get home, and everything's locked. No one's home. Every single door is locked. I try them all. I'm like, I can't believe this.
And your ride is gone at this point. It's not like you can run back out to the driveway.
Right.
Gotcha. Was it the staff's day off?
Yeah, where was Linus? Where the hell was Linus? Should you call him on your cell phone?
You guys are having trouble with your made up stories in my real life. So I get there, and there's no one there, and there's no doors open. And I think, oh, I remember. You know what? There is one window that we don't have. We have a problem with the lock. Maybe it's open. So I walked around to the side of the house, and that was open. But it was a what's this, Ralph? About a foot?
Yeah,
a little
about
over a foot.
Foot and a half, maybe. Mm-hmm. And near the top of the wall. It's not one of those little windows down low. It's way up high.
Right.
But I can get it open.
So you need that Asian guy from Ocean's 11.
Yes.
That's who you need to get through that window.
Yes. Yeah. So I you know, I look around and I find a tub that I can stand on top of, and that's not good enough. So I had to put the tub there and then something else. Like,
all the while you're battling the urge to vomit during all of this?
Yes.
Wow.
But I just wanted to get in, and I wanted to lay down in my bed.
Sure.
That's
sure.
all I wanted to do. So I finally get up there and I start wiggling my way through that window.
Oh, come on.
And I have
you got a spine that's hanging together by a thread. You're going to vomit and you're wriggling through a window.
The spine is not the problem. The feet are too big for the window, and my head it's physically impossible to get it through a window that size. So now I'm kind of trapped, and my leg is all bent weird. And if I could just
are you going in legs first or face first?
Well, I couldn't figure it out. I tried to go in face first, but then I was afraid I would fall on my head.
Right.
So then I tried to get my feet in, and then my foot got stuck. Now I'm up there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes, stuck in that window, trying to figure out a way to use physics or something to get my giant head through that little window and my foot at the same time. So now I'm all tied up like a pretzel, and I'm stuck, and then I have to throw up.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been in this position or not, but
no one's ever been in that position.
No, that's not what I was talking about.
Okay.
What I'm about to tell you is what I'm asking if you've been in the position or not. Underneath me on the inside of the house is a bed, a small bed, like a couch-type bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I think, you know what? If I could get some distance, there's wood floor. It'd be a lot easier to clean up.
Yeah.
So now I'm like a
pretzel.
You're
trying to pick your vomit location.
It seems like it would make a lot less trouble afterwards.
Right.
So you can't get out of the window at this point?
No,
you're physically stuck. You're stuck in a window you can't get out of.
That's correct, yes.
Like you two so famously said. Right?
But I also have the feeling that I'm closer to getting in than out, so I don't want to back out. I'm almost in. But I have to throw up, so I'm thinking, I wonder if I could clear the bed.
Like, can I projectile?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was like, I don't know that I've ever had to consider, like, distance.
You know? A lot of people do vomit for distance.
Have you ever tried to figure out
more for accuracy. It's a sport more about accuracy than it is about distance, really.
Not for this, though. This was distance. I just thought, if I try to hold it long enough, and then maybe I can just, it'll go far enough, it'll miss the bed.
Get your head up the right angle.
Right.
You arc it, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
No.
So the bed underneath got the worst of it?
Got a lot of it. I did clear the bed with about half of it.
Oh, that's good.
I was like, hey, that's half.
At least you made misses in two places.
Thumbs up.
See, I'm the opposite. I would have done it right on the bed because I knew the comforter or whatever was covering the bed with could be then lifted off and then just thrown right in the washer.
But if there's a wood floor, you can just clean it up in 2 seconds.
Yeah, but you still have to mop it up off a floor. This, I just gather up the bedding and throw it in the washer.
I'm stuck in a window.
Well, you're still using poor judgment.
Yeah, well...
I would have
in that situation.
If I had the option, I would have tried to vomit outside before I got involved in this shenanigans.
No way. I finally got my head three quarters of the way through the window.
Yeah.
And getting it back out would pretty much tear it apart.
Yeah, well, you were hosed then.
So I mean, yeah, I was hosed. Yeah. So I try, but I'd go 50-50. I'd say 50-50. So now I'm cleaning both the bed and the
floor.
Excellent.
And I also didn't, the bed was my landing as well, like when I got
in. Oh, that's true. You don't want to land in a big puddle of vomit.
Yeah. So I actually didn't do too bad, and it took me about another, I would say, you know how it seems forever, but it was probably 2 or 3 minutes of trying to
wriggling and
pretzel
stuff.
Myself through that window.
Oh, my God.
And I finally got through and fell on the bed. In the vomit.
Yes.
Vomit soaked bed, right?
Yeah.
So now you had to clean you, the bed, and the floor. By the way, vomit
soaked bed. Saw the Troop last night.
The floor.
Excellent.
It was not my best day.
I just wish the cops had shown up. I just wish there had been
somebody would have called.
Yeah. Sir? Sir, you heard that voice from down underneath the window from the outside as you're vomiting inside?
Oh, he's like, could you please get down? I'd like, no, I can't, and I would move if I were
just
you.
Just shoot me, officer. Just shoot me.
This past weekend was Comic-Con, of course, down in San Diego. Hundreds of thousands of people down there. Just every star in the world from Steven Spielberg on down was there. And TV's Batman, Adam West, showed up, who, as you know, we're huge fans of and supporters of here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was Batman in the 60s, and now you see him as, you know, Mayor West on The Family Guy. 82 years old, Kevin,
yeah.
Adam West.
Yeah.
Still sharper than you and me together. Yep. It's unbelievable. What a thrill it was to get to see Mr. West again.
And Bean got a chance to sit down with him after the show.
Seriously. Does it get any better than Adam West at Comic-Con? What's up?
I'm a little intimidated, Bean, to be here because as we walked in, I needed ID and you didn't.
Well, they're intimidated by seeing him. They just let him go wherever he wants. He's so big.
Yes. Right. Well, how you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing well, sir. It's good to see you. We haven't seen you since we accomplished a feat we thought previously unattainable. We got you that star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Don't make me weep.
What is it like? I mean, obviously, we spoke with you leading up to it. I know it wasn't coming from you. It was your fans and your supporters and your family. But what was it like for you? And how do they tell you when you're going to get the star on the Walk of Fame? How is the information transmitted to you?
I think one of our daughters sent me an email. And then I was able to read their release about it. And, gee, I saw the name Adam West there with so many important names. I was very impressed with what my family's been able to accomplish, I guess, and Ralph and all of the other, you know, boosters who want me to have a star in the
sidewalk. But for just a second.
I never wanted that.
Yeah, right. You may say that, and maybe there's part of you that didn't want it. There's part of you that thinks it's pretty cool, though.
I'm just being falsely humble. And it is, Bean. It's cool.
50 years in this business, more or less. You are busier now, probably, than you've ever been in your career. Could you ever imagine that you would be this busy?
No.
This far into what has been an amazing career?
Ralph. I'm not that busy. If there's someone listening who produces movies a little more epic than what I normally do, please, I'm not that busy.
You still have time to work. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right.
You know, you're right, Ralph. I have been so occupied because people call me. And they asked me to do things. Now, what does an actor do when he's asked to do something? You know, you start to cook with it.
You ask how much?
Well, first, of course, yes, money, yes. but it's really difficult to get away from something you love and the fans, of course, that you love. I said that because they're all around me here.
Yes.
We are being watched right now. Now, Ralph told me something I'm not sure I can get my head around until I hear it from you. An Adam West comic book. Not a Batman comic book, an Adam West comic book?
That's amazing. Things have kind of come full circle, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, I depicted a character from a comic book, and now I am a comic book. This is kind of creepy. But it's called The Misadventures of Adam West, and it's really well done. You guys are going to like it.
There's time travel. There's adventure. It's Adam in all different stages of his life and career. It really yes. is a bit of an acid trip of a comic book. It's so much fun.
And I'll be selling them in the hallway here in a few minutes.
As some do, did you mix a little of your own blood in the ink that they use to make the comic book just to give it that personal touch?
Bean, that's a hell of a question. You know, yes. Yes, they got my blood. They really did, because it doesn't pay that much.
What do you make of, and you've seen your share of conventions, of fan conventions over the decades, what do you make of something like Comic-Con and what it's become here in the 21st century?
It's hard to believe that this thing has expanded and grown like it has. It's gotten huge and very exciting, and I have a granddaughter here, a little girl who got all dressed up, and she was so excited to be here with my wife that, you know, because she's heard about it. And I don't think anyone in the world has not heard about Comic-Con in San Diego, or you wouldn't be here, Bean. This is, no, it's huge.
And it's hard to believe that the panel Adam's doing here at the Comic-Con, it's you and Burt Ward and Julie Newmar. It's the first time you guys have ever appealed together here at the Comic-Con, right?
Yes, it is. And it's kind of interesting because sitting up there with those two and looking out at the audience might be a moment when I say to myself, hello, we're curiosities.
You're on display?
Yes. There are just three of us left.
Well, the show's now on the Hub Network, four nights a week, and it has reintroduced the classic Batman to a whole new generation.
The only Batman, Ralph, the only Batman.
I'm trying to be politically correct here at Comic-Con.
Thank you. I asked him to say classic. We're on the air now, Hub.
Why wouldn't kids love the show today? Kids are, I mean, it's timeless. You can still watch it. It's still funny.
Thank you, Bean. It's really never changed. That is the audience. You know, each succeeding generation watches Batman with their parents, or the grandparents, and it's marvelous. It's been a wonderful ride for me. And now Family Guy and that other stuff, yeah.
It really was genius of Dozier and the other guys who were involved in the show to keep it unique enough that it never seems dated. Gotham City is Gotham City. No matter what year you're watching it, it stands alone, and you guys are just timeless.
It's always kind of fresh, isn't it? Yeah. You know, Warner's has The Dark Knight, and that amazing franchise that's doing extremely well, I think, at the box office, and enormous talent associated with it. But our simple little show has The Bright Knight.
I like it. The Bright Knight, Ralph. That's good.
While we're talking about the Nolan movies, there was a rumor all over the internet. I mean, you must have heard about this, that you were spotted in some pub in Nottingham, England, and apparently you were going to do a cameo in the third Batman movie that Christopher Nolan was doing. Were you over there in England filming a secret role?
Ralph, no, I was just pub crawling.
Adam was just drunk in England.
I don't know if he's in his movie or not, but he looked toasted. Wow. Well, every time we get the opportunity to talk to you on the Kevin and Bean Show, we feel like the luckiest little boys in the world. I mean, I still can't believe, well, first of all, that you're alive. I can't believe that. But second of all,
I can't either.
That we know you and that and that you're willing to come on our show and talk about the awesome life that is Adam West.
Yeah.
But we'll look for the comic book soon, and you'll let us know when you get that ceremony date for the Walk of Fame, too. Mr. West, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I
you
liked,
it? No strings attached?
I did.
Kevin, that was one of the worst reviews.
That was a moment with Bean.
Nice.
That was a meltdown right there. That was
sweet.
That was funny. Yeah,
that was
good.
All right, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, ladies and gentlemen. The X Games are right around the corner. Our friend Sal Masekela joins us later. And, of course, it's Monday. That means Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Ralph was reporting a few minutes ago that, no surprise, Captain America, huge box office. What did he say? $60-something million?
$68, I think.
Everybody was looking forward to this movie. These Avengers movies, I mean, as we talked about on Friday, Marvel Studios has just been crushing it with these movies, you know, with their Iron Man movie and whatnot. I mean, all their movies have been so good. Every single one of these Avengers movies has been amazing. Thor. And now the Green Captain America's out. Green Lantern, not one of theirs, by the way. And Beer Mug, you had the opportunity to be on the star-studded red carpet for this movie. So you were there at the beginning, right?
I was there in the middle of it all in tourist hell on Hollywood Boulevard.
sent out Beer Mug to see what he could get with the interviews. Of course, he gets started, makes sure his equipment's all working properly.
Yeah. Check, 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 check. One, check, 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 check. We're good to go.
All right, he's good to go. He's ready. Now,
I like that he makes that announcement to no one.
To no one. Right. Now, I don't know. I know that there were a bunch of stars there and, of course, the actors from the film. But tell me about this first interview that we're about to hear with, I guess, an actual veteran from World War II, which is when the movie is set. What's the story with this guy?
Yeah, I was waiting in the press line, and I guess one of his publicists comes out and says, "Hey, we have a World War II veteran. He survived a prisoner camp. He was a prisoner of war. Would you like to talk to him?" I was like, "Absolutely, bring him down."
Nothing sounds funnier than that, yeah. Right? Yeah. Reliving those old prisoner of war times. All right, let's see how it went with Mug and the old guy.
How you doing? I'm standing here with a very special American, Mr. Louis Zamperini, a veteran of World War II. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great for my age.
Yeah, you look fantastic. I was surprised to hear that an actual World War II vet was at the Captain America world premiere. And let me ask you.
Now, do you have a question at this point, or are you stalling?
He's trying to think. How can you tell? Yeah,
that's stalling because there's no question there.
Totally unprepared.
Let me ask you a question about that.
I had a thought that I was going to share with you about a thing that I was going to ask you in reference to stuff that is just going on. And by the way, every time I hear tape from Beer Mug, I'm like on the edge of my seat, wondering if he's going to get to the end of the sentence. Does he always sound like he's this close to collapsing?
Yep. He does. Just okay, like me.
Let's see what he's got.
Besides, you know, getting a victorious win over the Axis powers.
What? You are practically Winston Churchill.
Yeah. What?
Getting a victorious win over the Axis powers.
And Beer Mug's thinking, I'm pretty proud of myself so far. Now where do I go?
How is it like fighting with Captain America himself?
Okay, now I want to make sure I understand what's happening here, Beer Mug. You're asking a 90-year-old what it was like fighting with Captain America because in the movie, Captain America is in World War II.
See, because,
times,
yeah.
And you thought he would pick up on that? He would understand that question?
Yeah, I fortunately did.
Let's see how he responded.
What was the question about?
Yeah. Did you meet Steve Rogers himself?
I don't.
Captain America?
No, I don't think so, no.
That's all right.
Poor guy, by the way. It's just like, what is he doing? What is he asking? I don't understand what this man is saying to me. And I get that you were going for it. And in your mind, what are you thinking? Beer Mug is swinging a miss.
Yeah, and I didn't want, you know, I have a special place in my heart for World War II veterans. Sure. And I didn't want to, you know, totally just, you know, make fun of him and...
Right. Well, there's nothing to make fun of him. It's not his fault that he didn't fight with Captain America, right? You know that.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't going anywhere after that.
Could you have said something he understood?
I could have.
Okay. I would have gone that route.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what Beer Mug backs that one up with.
So, Mr. Zamperini.
He's got nothing, by the way.
He's hoping any question will come to us.
You're just blank.
What's your favorite TV show?
Maybe not even that good.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
Oh, no. You're on the red carpet at a Hollywood premiere, Bugs. Nobody wants to relive their prisoner of war years. The poor man is out there to have a good time and go to the movies.
Were you tortured? What was that like?
I mean, please explain. How did that thought cross your mind? What was it like being in prison? That may be the type of thing you ask a guy once you get to know him a little bit. You've got some quiet time. Not in a red carpet world premiere.
That literally might have been verbal diarrhea.
Because you had nothing.
Okay. I had nothing. I was just trying to go off the top.
Okay.
And that's...
Let me ask you a question, though, Muggs. When they came over and they said, we have this World War II vet to come. Yeah, bring him over. Yeah, that'd be great. Now, at that point, did you not start thinking, hey, I need some questions?
No.
That's why Muggs is awesome.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 rice balls a day, and that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing, sir. Well, I really...
So 3 rice bowls a day and daily beatings.
That is awesome.
Say,
Mug says that's awesome. Did he say that was awesome?
No, he said that's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
I wish I could have been there.
Why not thank you for your service or you're so brave to have survived? Let's hear that part again.
And that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing, sir. Well, I really... may God bless you. And take care, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great beer mug. Captain America red carpet here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
He's our World War II expert.
Yeah.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
And welcome to the red carpet, sir. Have a good time.
Let's relive those days, shall we, sir?
Each day. Give me day by day. How'd it go? Rice bowl beating.
You have any scars I can take a look at?
That is, that's no fun for him to relive that.
It's no fun
right?
for anyone.
No.
We don't want to hear that either.
Rice balls and beatings. That's amazing.
We've gotten several emails, by the way, about this guy. Apparently, he's quite the legendary war hero. He was a former Olympian. He was at the Olympics. He's a legend. And Mug just put the old man right through the ringer.
Are we sure that we're sending the right guy?
I don't know.
We should send him to retirement homes to entertain. He would be quite the picker-upper.
How about that depression, ladies and gentlemen?
Let's do that next. You'd
raise the spirits of all those elderly people who were fighting all kinds of battles.
How many people had three rice bowls a day and got beatings? Put your hands up.
Hey!
Poor Muggs. Muggs is the last voice that old man heard before he died.
No, he's still alive.
All right, we have a fantastic hour coming up next for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show because Dominic Howard, the drummer from the band Muse, one third of Muse, is here. We'll talk to him about what the plans are for a new record, for a tour, how LA Rising's looking to them as it's coming up this weekend, and we'll give you some tickets to join them as well. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Top 10 movies at the box office. We take a look at it every Monday morning. Captain America came in at number one thanks to Muggs being there on the red carpet. That's what pushed it over the top.
It is.
$65.8 million in its debut, made it number one. Captain Potter? No, he's not a captain. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 was second at the box office, a little over $48 million. Friends with Benefits came in at number three. Then Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and Horrible Bosses rounding out the top five. Zookeeper, Cars 2, Winnie the Pooh, Bad Teacher, and Midnight in Paris rounded out the top ten. A lot of people were talking about it this weekend, a lot of... tweets about Amy Winehouse passing away, found dead in her apartment in London Saturday, the apparent victim of a drug overdose. Although the police don't want us to rush to judgment.
No, don't say that. We're not sure why she died.
Could be anything. She might have been hit on the head by a meteorite. Let's wait till we find that out or not.
They literally came out and said, do not rush to judgment. Do not guess that it was drugs. Based on her whole life. I think we can make
her mother was quoted as saying it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks for the help, Mom.
Tragically. Well, look, her family did everything they could. The people around her did everything they could. They got her into dozens of rehabs. And she just didn't want to save herself. She was so addicted, she would have done the drugs.
Yep.
It's an insidious disease, but. There's nothing you can do about it. Some friends are saying perhaps she scored a bunch of like Special K and ecstasy and all kinds of stuff the night before.
Uh-huh.
And someone is reporting that the ecstasy may have been counterfeit or doped up with something. It was a bad batch or something, and that may have been the cause of the death. But we're going to have autopsy results apparently tomorrow, they're saying, in the paper. So we'll see. We'll know more, I guess, as the week goes on. But it doesn't really matter, I guess, in the long run, you know. We know what the cause was. It was her addiction. So, sad news. It's so weird that she died at the age of 27, by the way. That is the magic number.
Why?
For some reason. Because a number of legendary musical artists especially have all died at the age of 27. Kurt Cobain died at 27. Jimi Hendrix died at 27. Janis Joplin, 27. Jim Morrison, 27. Pigpen McCarran from Grateful Dead, 27. Pete Ham of Badfinger, 27. Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones, 27.
Wow, that's weird.
Isn't that strange? Wonder why that's the number.
If I'm a rock star, I'm gonna skip that year.
Yeah.
It's going to go 26, 28.
We talked to a couple of weeks ago who was terrified that he was going to die at 27 because of that list. Remember, he was afraid every day of his 27th year that he was going to die.
David Hasselhoff should have skipped over his 59th birthday.
Oh, no. Now what?
apparently he was celebrating in Vegas when he got into a heated argument with his girlfriend, and security had to be called to his hotel room at the Wynn in Las Vegas. Bystanders say the lady seemed to be in serious distress. No word on whether David had imbibed or not before the argument.
Yeah, no way to guess that.
Anyone want to put any money on this? Can we take any action? What do you got for me?
This is a mess.
I think it was worth waiting for.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Thurston Howell III. No, Thurston Moore, my bad. From Sonic Youth, he is 53 years old today. Ileana Douglas turns 46. Matt LeBlanc of Friends fame is 44. And Tara Patrick, adult film star extraordinaire, celebrates her 35th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
One of the bands you'll be seeing Saturday at L.A. Rising at the L.A. Coliseum downtown. Dom Howard, drummer for the band, joins us in studio right now.
Hey.
On the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. You know, I was just thinking, as I was listening to that, you know, you did the Reading Festival and the Leeds Festival. You were headlining there. You got the Coliseum this weekend. Then you're going to Chicago for Lollapalooza. Is the new Muse policy that you don't do a gig unless there's at least 50,000 people there anymore? What's happening?
It's definitely felt like that, particularly over the last summer and recently. I think actually the last tour we just did, we were down in South America with U2 supporting them, and that was like 80,000 every night. So
that's crazy.
I know, so I like those numbers.
What's it like for you to open for a band though? Because a lot of people come to see U2, they don't necessarily come to see the opening then, but in your case, maybe they do.
What
was it like?
It was amazing, actually. We haven't supported a band for quite a long time. Actually, it was U2 probably about 3 years ago. We did a couple of gigs just up on the East Coast with those guys. But it was great, and it was down in South America, so the crowds go wild down there, you know? They go crazy. Yeah, they go crazy. They're very excitable. And you know, most places were pretty much full, you know, and sometimes it almost felt like our own show. You know?
Yeah. Mm. Why do you, I mean, you certainly don't have to ever support another band again. What's the incentive for you? Is it just fun to be on the road with another group? Is it the musicianship that you enjoy, or what?
Well, we went down there just to steal some of their fans, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
That's worth doing.
Yeah, well, we've only actually played down there once before, so, and then they asked us to do it, and we were thinking about going down there anyway. So
you've only played South America one time?
Yeah.
What's with that?
I know,
How are you guys not the... I don't understand. It sort of seems to us, Dom, that you guys, and I know you probably feel like you never stopped working. You probably feel like it's been nonstop, but for us in America, it feels like, wow, these guys have been away for a while, and they're finally starting to come back. The sleeping giant is starting to awake, and we're starting to get back into the rhythm of having Muse back in our lives again. And I was wondering, is that what it's like? Is that what it's like for you too? I mean, do you feel like you're kind of reemerging from a period of silence, or do you feel like you've been nonstop ever since we last saw you?
It feels kind of like it's been nonstop for about 10 years.
So only 10 years straight.
I guess we had a little bit of a break in like January and February, but to be honest, we finished in December last year in Australia, and then we had January off, and then we were doing the Grammys here. And then shortly went off on tour with U2, and then came back, and then we went to Russia. So we haven't really stopped. I guess we haven't played in the States since September. No, since like October last year or something.
Was that at Staples Center?
That was September last year here in LA. Yeah,
because I saw that show, and I wanted to ask you about that. That was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Oh,
and
thank you.
It was really funny though at the beginning when they dropped those towel things. What do you have? The
kabukis.
Whatever they are, the technical term. Yeah. And one of them, Chris's wouldn't fall, so he had to play most of the first song behind the kabuki. It wouldn't fall.
Oh, you saw that show?
Yeah,
did you?
And then there were like people, and then there were people climbing up on it and trying to tug on it, and jumping up and down. I was like, I don't think this is how it's supposed to go.
Oh no! Well, you should have come the night before, because then it all worked fine.
No, yeah, I'm telling you, that was a great show.
apart from that start, I mean, they've, like, over the course of like a year and a half on the road with that production, they've kind of failed about three times. So not bad going, but it had to be bloody Staples Center in Los Angeles.
I loved it so much. I was like, look, Chris is playing and he's still got the thing in front of him.
Oh, yeah, it all went a bit tap. It all went a bit tap there for a second. Like the bass player couldn't come out of his cocoon.
You call it tap?
didn't Bono get stuck in a lemon, though, on that tour? The same thing happened to them, right?
That happened back when.
Kevin, were you there, too?
Yes,
did you see that
maybe
one?
It's me.
Oh, maybe it's you.
How about me? They got stuck and the lemon wouldn't open. I don't know. That's a strange sentence, but.
Dom Howard is here from the band Muse here on the Kevin Bean Show, of course, in town for LA Rising, happening this weekend at the LA Coliseum. You're playing along with Rage Against the Machine, Rise Against, Lauryn Hill, Immortal Technique, El Gran Silencio. This is a big show. The Coliseum is where it's happening. Unbelievable lineup. Tickets available still through Ticketmaster. What's the hottest it ever gets on stage when you're doing one of these festival shows in the summer? Because, you know, it may be 100 for us in the audience. On stage, couldn't it be like, you know, 130 or something, Dom?
It has been. I think probably Coachella's been hottest, and that was must have been 2004 or maybe 6, whenever we played it first time, maybe 6. And it was 120 degrees or something
Sweet.
Like that, and it was like,
but at least you don't work up a sweat playing your instrument, so that's good.
It was too hot to sweat. It's like as soon as you perspired, it evaporated instantly. So it was just this weird dry heat, and it was so tough to play. And I think, I mean, we were right on the edge of passing out.
All right, we got a lot of other questions for you. We need to take a quick break here, but we're starting to see rumblings on the internet about some direction, maybe at least for what the new album may sound like, and it may be too early to tell. But we definitely want to ask you about that, and also. You got a lot of press for something that Matt said about Muse wanting to record in space. And we need to ask you what you guys are smoking when we return with Dom Howard right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him at LA Rising this weekend at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. The following weekend, Grant Park, Chicago for Lollapalooza, talking about the band Muse, arguably the biggest band in the world right now. We got one third of the group, Dom Howard, in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Dom?
Excellent, thanks.
Good. It's always great to see you guys. I think back, and Kevin and I have talked about this often. We do these breakfast shows, Breakfast Withs, and we've been doing them for years and years and years on the show. But the one that we did with you guys in New York when we were all there for the MTV show was one of the most fun afternoons I've ever had of talking to a band. Man, we enjoyed talking to you guys that day.
Oh, cool. Likewise. That was the last time I saw you.
Was it New York? I think it was. Just so much fun. All right.
Not the last time I saw you, though, because the last time I saw you, your stage thing didn't work. I remember that. Do you want me to bring that back up again?
No, let's forget about that.
Okay. How did you guys get involved in LA Rising?
Well, I guess Rage asked us. They kind of came
forward.
Are you
allowed to say no to Rage?
I mean, no, no one is.
If Rage asks you, you say okay?
Yeah, well, absolutely. We had to. I mean, we'd met Tom over the years. I actually met Brad Wilk at Coachella last year, the drummer. Right. Great guys, really nice, and they're like idols of ours, really. I mean, we've since they first came out in 1991 with that first album, we were like, what the hell is this? Yeah. You know, and from that day, we've all been massive fans, so real honor to meet those guys and to be asked to play with them. I mean, really has been.
Crazy,
so
man.
They asked us to do it. They said they're putting this show together, and they asked us, and we were like, well, we can't say no to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about the state. You're going to be at the Coliseum. Are you going to have your full stage show?
We're going to have...
And you're going to play a full set? And
yeah, I don't know how long we're actually going to play for, but we're going to have some kind of production. We're going to be using the stuff that we were using in some festivals we did last year, but also the stuff that we were just using in Russia, which is kind of all this hexagon-shaped screen that kind of looks a little bit like the Resistance album cover.
Okay.
It's kind of based around it. So, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting down to the stadium. I've never been there. It's just...
it's pretty big.
Is it?
Yeah. You're going to want to run for a touchdown when you walk in there. I mean, it's a natural inclination. can't help yourself. When we had Rage in here just a couple of weeks ago talking about this show, and of course, as you said, they're the mastermind of LA Rising, and they said, yeah, everybody's doing a full set. I mean, you really do get bang for your buck. The show's less than $100 to see Rage and Muse and Rise Against, plus so many more. I mean, it's a great, great deal. And I hope that their wish comes true to make this an annual show that they do every summer in L.A. It would be fantastic.
Oh, that's what
And I hope you play it every summer as well. We'd like to lock you in. We'd like, they told us to ask you.
Possibly. If they do it, we'll do it. But I'm certainly very excited about seeing those guys play.
To me, they're the best live band alive, and you guys are the second best. So when I heard this lineup, I was like, oh, dear God, this is like I put this show together. This is great.
And Rise Against is going to be there. I mean, it's going to be such a great day.
Oh, it's so great to see those guys back together and play music. I just hope they actually do some new material. That's what we all want.
We tried to get an answer out of them about new music, and they were saying this may be the last show they ever play. Which is what they always say. That's always their answer.
It's a bit unpredictable. But surely, I heard they were up in some rehearsal studio just recently where I was over the last week, and I heard they were in the studio jamming, so I thought, they can't just be rehearsing the songs. They've got to be pulling out a few riffs.
Yeah, hopefully.
And like going for some new vibes. So.
Speaking of new music, and I know that the pressure is always on, especially when you're as successful a band as Muse is, that, at some point you got to put out another record. It sounds like you guys have been starting to work on it. It sounds like you've got a few songs that are at least in the demo stage. What can you tell us about it, Dom?
Not too much at the moment, because we haven't actually properly really started. I mean, I've heard Matt play a few things on the piano and a couple of riffs on the guitar, but that's kind of like, that's as far as we've really got, because we've still got a few more gigs to do, and we've actually had 2 months off now because of, Matt had a baby as well, so, we took some time off around that time. And we're going to start properly in September or October. So at this stage, there isn't a lot I can really tell you about the new music because we haven't really got very far.
And the process that you create music with is just, it's impossible to tell where you're going to end up. You start someplace, but you don't know where you're going to end.
That's always the thing, yeah. It always really changes in the studio because we start with one idea and it's just, by the end of it, it can turn into something completely different, like really randomly different. So even songs like Supermassive Black Hole, I mean, that was much more kind of rock when we first started, and it ended up being a bit more kind of programmed. So Undisclosed Desires as well was kind of the same kind of thing. We started completely playing different. Very, very live, and it totally evolved. So it's hard to know. What we do know is we always end up with a load of different kind of styles of music, and we have to try and figure out how to make them sit on one album together comfortably.
Right. You don't have any kind of a deadline or any record company interference where they say we need an album by a certain date or anything like that at this point, right?
Not these days. No. We're pretty relaxed these days. Yeah, we do what
we want. We need an album by a certain date as soon as possible.
Well, we want to produce one as well, definitely next year we'll get something out.
All right. I made a mention of this a few moments ago before the break. Matt, in an interview, said, hey, Muse would like to go up and maybe in the Richard Branson Virgin Galactic and head out into space and try to record something up there. Mm. He was high, right? I mean, that's all that we have to say about that. There's no truth or plans for that, right?
That's our new game, High or Joking. You have to identify.
Maybe high, but also keen, very keen to make it happen.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we've kind of approached Branson to try and get some answers about when it's all going to happen with his Virgin Galactic.
Okay.
Because not only do we just want to go on it anyway, I want to go on it as soon as it's ready and it's safe, and we see that video of Richard Branson come down and he's happy and smiling.
He's still alive.
Because he's got to be the first person up there, yeah.
Right.
As soon as we see that and it's all cool, I really want to go on it, and then, surely we've got to get up there and, try and play a song, record something, or at least film as attempting.
At least make a video or something is what I understood. You were going to try to do something space up there. Okay, I got
you. I'm not sure it's possible to play the drums in zero G.
That's a great question.
Whether it's going to be really easy or really
hard.
Your
drums will be flying all over the place. You won't know where to hit them.
Apart from that,
where to hit them. It'd be very difficult.
A lot of us, we have plans, things we'd like to do in the future. Very few of us, Kevin, are planning to perhaps play drums in space. I mean, that is not on my list, I know, of things.
I'm putting it on my list now, if that's cool. But I don't think I'm going to reach that.
We'll all be doing it in a few years.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, maybe so. It's always great news when Muse comes to town, and you don't want to miss them at the L.A. Coliseum. Downtown Los Angeles this Saturday. Music starts at around 3 o'clock, by the way. Muse, Rage Against the Machine, Rise Against, and more. Tickets available through Ticketmaster, and then Lollapalooza. Kevin, of course, you're wearing a Lollapalooza. Talk about your dream lineup. What about this? What about Muse? What about Coldplay, Eminem, Foo Fighters, My Morning Jacket, A Perfect Circle, and more? How crazy is that?
That's
lineup?
Cool too. You like that? Do you like playing that Lollapalooza in Chicago?
Yes, done it once before, and it's amazing because it's only been in Chicago for just a recent number of years, like in one place. Yeah, and it's I think we played it 3 years ago, and it's amazing. Amazing sight in the main park there, and
it's beautiful.
And for us on stage, and obviously the people in the crowd, you get the whole skyline of Chicago.
Do you go watch any of those other bands, or do you just kind of chopper in and play and chopper out?
Sometimes. It depends who's on. But Who's playing before
well,
us?
Well, there's Eminem, there's Foo Fighters. It's 3 days, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Unfortunately, we can't stick around for the whole weekend because we've got to chip off and go to Kansas, I think.
You can walk Kansas, really, right?
Yeah.
Wow, your life is more glamorous than I knew.
Just for a hang, you know, in Kansas.
Just to go hang in Kansas.
I'd love to see Eminem. Yeah.
Oh, he's unbelievable. He's like a tiger prowling the stage. It's just incredible the energy that guy has. Well, it sounds like a great time to be in Muse. I mean, you sound like you're really having fun right now, and this is awesome. I'm so happy to hear it, Dom.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Still moving forward.
Fantastic.
Still enjoying it.
And we're happy you're playing this weekend. It's going to be a fantastic show. LA Rising, Saturday night. Like Bean said, still tickets available. There shouldn't be, is my point. There should be no tickets available. Right. This is the most amazing show ever. And Dom, thanks for coming in this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Cheers.
All right. Let's talk about Amy Winehouse for a minute. Ralph, of course, has been reporting the news you no doubt heard over the weekend. And here's a tip before we go to the tape. If you're planning on going into work today with your hilarious Amy Winehouse is dead, dead, dead chunk, or she should have said yes, yes, yes to rehab, go ahead and pass on that. That's pretty much been covered over the weekend.
We got some emails from people saying, please, if you could just wait on the hotline to heaven for a couple of days.
I don't think we're called the hotline to heaven. It's, in fact, a very sad story. Here's how it was reported on Saturday.
The gifted singer Amy Winehouse found dead in her London home. She was just 27. So many young music stars lost, and so many lost when they, too, were 27.
Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, and like so many, she shared their destructive addiction to drink and drugs. With the physical decline came arrests for drunkenness and drug possession. She seemed to spend as much time in police stations as she did on stage. Soon, the suicidal lifestyle affected her performing. Just last month, she was booed off stage here in Belgrade. The tour was cancelled. Her father said he'd already prepared her eulogy. Tonight, their worst fears came true.
Father had already prepared her eulogy.
When I hear stuff like that, I think, you know, so many people, no one was surprised by this news. So many people expected her to die. You think that somebody like that would have enough of a support system to get help. And then as Rob was saying last hour, well, some people just don't want to be helped. They just are so far gone. They can't see help, even if it's right in front of them. So I wanted to find out more about that from a man who knows from all sides of this story, a former addict himself, now clean for what, 10 years, Psycho Mike? Is that about right?
Darn close to it, my friend.
10 years, congratulations. And, of course, he hears stories of addiction every night as the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline Pro program. Welcome, Psycho Mike, back to the show. So you, probably like me, weren't at all surprised when the Twitter blew up on Saturday and you heard about Amy Winehouse, right?
No, not at all. I mean, when someone is that profound a drug user for such a long period of time, it's not shocking. But at the same time, you know, I think people don't understand someone like Amy Winehouse unless they've kind of been in that situation before. You cannot at all apply logic or reason to someone who's an addict. I mean, what people need to understand is there's a big, big, big difference between a heavy drug user and an addict. And a lot of times it's not something that's definable. You can't, it's something that only the addict, him or herself, can understand. And I'm sure Amy Winehouse was faced with help. I'm sure she was given opportunities to change. But, you know, I mean, using myself as an example, I OD'd a lot. I had a lot of DUIs. I crashed a lot of cars. I hurt a lot of people. My parents came to me many times to tell me that they were concerned about me, crying, telling me that they were losing respect for me. And none of it sunk in. It didn't at all make me think that I needed to change. And it was by random chance and a bunch of different circumstances that I changed and got clean. So we don't really know what was going down in Amy's head. But I do understand, believe me, I totally understand why people sit here and say, oh, I don't feel sorry for Amy Winehouse. She brought this upon herself. But it's not that simple. I mean, it's a disease and it's a fatal one, as we see.
So part of the disease is that your brain is not able to, you say you take logic out of the equation. There's nothing that anyone else can say or do that is going to get through to you unless something's going on in your brain that allows you to see a way out, right? I mean, you have to visualize and you have to accept it and you have to want it, or you're just going to keep going back. Every time you get out of rehab, you're going to go back and use.
Sure. I mean, and you see it with people who are forced by a judge or a school to go into a treatment program, and within moments of getting out of that program, they're using or drinking again because it wasn't their choice. You know,
a recovery from addiction doesn't begin with by virtue of just being in a recovery program. It has to come from within the addict him or herself. And you know, this is a disease, and it's not like diabetes. Pardon me, it's not like chicken pox, it's like diabetes. Even though I'm clean now for a good amount of time, I'm still a victim to this disease, and you always got to continually apply, you know, the treatment to it. And if you are just going through the motions of trying to get clean, you're not actually trying to cure that disease. It's very, very difficult.
It never seemed to me like she ever had that amount of time where she really seriously got sober and stayed. So, you know what I mean? Like, she may have tried a few half-hearted efforts, but it never seems like she was successful for any amount of time.
Right. You're exactly right. I mean, from what we know as outsiders, I mean, she was someone who was on a beeline to self-destruction. And the problem with someone who's like an alcoholic or an addict addicted to stimulants is that you don't really know what's going on after a certain time. The longer you use that drug, the more and more confused you get yourself.
Right.
Because maybe deep down, Amy Winehouse wanted to get clean. She just didn't even know it. Because if you go enough time not sleeping, you know, 5 days in a row, and then mixing certain stimulants and stuff, the mania becomes so great that you don't even have control of your own thoughts anymore.
Are you aware when you're in that state that Amy Winehouse has been in so much the last 5 years that you could die, or do you talk yourself into the fact that you're indestructible and you can continue to do drugs like this? Does it make any kind of an impact at all when you see other addicts around you dying?
I certainly think from a human standpoint it does, and I was lucky enough during my time to not watch other people die around me, but I'm using guys who have been open about their use, guys like Anthony Kiedis and Nikki Sixx, who had friends around them die left and right,
right.
And it didn't stop them one bit. I mean, there's a famous story that Nikki always tells about him ODing from really badly, what he wrote Kickstart My Heart about, and then leaving the hospital against the will of the hospital in his gown, running down the street and just slamming heroin. You know, I mean, it doesn't, it's just wow. Like I said, the number one thing normal people can need to understand is that you can never, ever apply logic to someone's thought. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. It doesn't mean that they hate their children if they neglect them. When you are amidst addiction, you're an insane person, and you make very irrational, insane decisions.
So logic would say, hey, she just got booed off stage. And couldn't remember the words to her own song. So she right. must have to think, hey, this is ruining my career. I better stop. That's logic, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and that's the way I would think right now. But certainly amidst my addiction, people would tell me, you show up late for work one more time, you're fired. My parents would tell me, you know, if you continue down this path, we're never going to talk to you again. And it didn't even sink in. If my dad were to tell me today that I was doing something that he would never talk to me again over, I'd be mortified.
Yeah, but break your heart.
But 10 years ago, I mean, it didn't even sink in.
This is the voice of our friend Mike Catherwood, the co-host of Loveline, along with Dr. Drew. One more question for you, Mike. Of course, the autopsy is being conducted today. We don't have the official cause of death. We're all assuming, you know, she overdosed on drugs. But there were reports in the British newspapers that in her last 24 hours, she bought ecstasy, cocaine, and horse tranquilizer. Is that ketamine? Is that what that is?
Yeah, Special K,
okay.
Man.
What's Special K all about? What? Who's the first guy who said, you know what would be rad? Horse tranquilizers.
Yes. I don't know who that man is, but he should be in NASA. Because
he's a great American, I'll tell you that.
Like, what a daring and intellectual person.
What does it do to you when you take a horse tranquilizer, though?
Well, I mean, look, right in the name, it's a tranquilizer. So it's just like any type of sedative or just makes you go in slow-mo. And a lot of people like, you know, just being essentially a vegetable when they get high. But, for instance, I never dug that kind of stuff. I always liked to party. So I like booze and blow and stuff like that. But some people really like to just shut their body off when they get high. And that's pretty much what Special K does. A lot of people, like in the party scene, will mix, you know, Special K and ecstasy.
Crazy.
But, you know, it's like, look, the final thing on Amy Winehouse is, I understand there's plenty of people out there who don't have a record label and a bunch of money and a bunch of fans around them trying to help them and they're going to die tonight on the streets of whatever city in the world, totally unknown, without any support because of drug addiction. And you say, well, I feel sorry for that person, and I don't feel sorry for Amy Winehouse because she had every chance to clean herself up. But truth be told is you just can't, you cannot apply, you know, reason to these situations. Maybe she had hundreds of people coming to her telling her she had a problem. Maybe she had nobody around her. What needs to be understood is that means nothing. Until Amy Winehouse would look in the mirror and realize that she was doing something to destroy herself, it all didn't matter. There's zero relevance.
First of all, if I'm Amy Winehouse, I never want to look in a mirror. I mean, that is just too tragic for even for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You make some excellent points. I mean, I was kind of hoping when the news broke, well, maybe this is a good teaching opportunity for other people who are heading down that same path. But it sounds to me like for most of them, it's not a wake up call to see somebody else die. But I know you'll be talking about this more on Loveline last night and, of course, again tonight, Mike. But always a pleasure to catch up with you, dude. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Always a pleasure to talk to you guys. Bye.
Kevin, are you competing in X Games this year? You setting this one out. What are you doing? I hadn't heard your
I think
plans.
I'm sitting out this year. Yeah.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
I thought you were doing the window vomit game again. I thought you were participating in that event.
I would win that one as I'm the only one who's practiced.
You are the preeminent window vomiter, I think, in all of extreme sports. That is your event.
We want to talk about other events at X Games 17 with our friend Sal Masekela coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show after the top of the hour. Right now, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Captain America!
Yeah!
In its debut, made $65.8 million, enough to make it number one at the box office this weekend, edging out Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part Two, which made a paltry $48.1 million.
What a dog that movie turned out to be.
Friends with Benefits, in its debut weekend, made $18.5 million. That made it number three. Transformers Dark of the Moon, and then Horrible Bosses running out the top five. Zookeeper, Cars 2, Winnie the Pooh, Bad Teacher, and Midnight in Paris are your top ten at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, would you like to go see a special screening of Change Up?
No.
Oh, well.
I mean, yes.
Hopefully someone else will.
Wait,
because
yes.
I've got passes to give away. If you'd like to see the new comedy starring Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman, we've got a special screening coming up right now. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, call. Let's take the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers to get through get a pair of passes to attend the special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Change Up.
Oh, I like one of those actors so much.
Man, don't come a GL like that, man. I won't stand for it.
Did you see Captain America, Kevin? See Captain America this weekend?
No, I was sick, and I thought I was going to, so I bought a ticket.
Oh, good.
So at least you contributed to the
$65.8 million.
And then didn't get to go, but... No, so no.
But if you have any questions about Kevin's toilet bowl, you can fill it on that.
I kept thinking I'd feel better. So I'd buy a ticket for like later in the day or the next day. And
you went to the freaking soccer game, though.
Didn't work out. Yeah, I did
I
yesterday.
Couldn't get to see an icon of American militaristic.
I tried, dude.
Might. No,
wow,
no.
You are practically a foreigner. You didn't make it to Captain America, but you did go see that Mexican sport.
Right, exactly.
How dare you?
So... kickball, whatever it is, and then you skip out on Captain America.
Why don't you just spit on the flag on your way to the soccer game,
it
Kevin?
Was the
Why don't
galaxy
you just do that?
In Manchester City. Come on,
you're
now.
Welcome in our country any longer. I think we might revoke your papers.
I tried. I realized quickly after being there that also was a mistake.
Fans of Teen Mom will be sad to hear about Caitlin Lowell and Tyler Paltiera. You know, they're one of the favorite couples on that show.
Sure.
They just got kicked out of their apartment. They couldn't keep up with the $450 a month rent payments. Come on.
That seems low.
It does seem low. Seems like they should be able to make that. Don't they make that on MTV alone? Wouldn't they be?
I would think the money from the TV show would be enough to cover that. Absolutely.
Yeah, apparently they've been evicted from their apartment and no word where they're going to be living now. But I hope they have more kids. I think that would be good.
Because like most teenage girls, what they care about is stupid.
Interesting story from the set of The Amazing Spider-Man, the reboot of the Spider-Man franchise, starring Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield. I don't know if you've seen the footage yet or not, but do yourself a favor. At the Comic-Con this past weekend, I was presiding over the panel for Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
And Andrew Garfield said, I want to say something to the Spider-Man fans, because I am a Spider-Man fan. I've been a fan my whole life, long time before I ever even thought I'd... you know, be playing him, and I want to say something special to them. And so he said, how should we do it? And so he
came up with an idea where he would start in the audience as if he was a person asking a question. So he put on a cheesy-looking Spider-Man costume, and he made his way to the front to the microphone and started talking, and I played along and said, we're not taking any questions right now. And he pulled off his mask and revealed himself as Andrew Garfield. The place went crazy. And then he did a very heartfelt couple minutes on what the character means to him and what it meant to him for being at Comic-Con for the first time. And it was a very touching moment. Everybody really enjoyed it. So I think it's up on YouTube now. You can find it. If you type in Andrew Garfield Comic-Con, you can check it out. But it was really, it was quite the entertaining moment. And what can become a very sort of commercialized, publicity-driven event that Comic-Con is. It was a heartfelt moment from a real fan to other fans, and everybody really kind of enjoyed it.
Speaking of that weekend, there's a ton of stuff at kevinandme.com as well. Big picture galleries of the Playboy hoedown or whatever it is they had.
I believe it was the Camp Playboy Party. Yeah, I don't believe it was the Playboy hoedown.
I don't know what it was. There's a lot of good photos up there.
A lot of hoes at the hoedown, yeah. Too, I've noticed. A lot of that.
Now, Andrew Garfield, didn't he say, Ralph, that he had been Spider-Man for Halloween when he was 2?
That was the first time he had the costume on, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing to grow up and play Spider-Man in the movies when you start off like that? That is a touching story.
Longtime Spidey fan. Said Spider-Man saved his life. Because he was a scrawny little kid who got bullied a lot, and Peter Parker was sort of somebody he could look up to because he was the same thing. He got bitten by a radioactive spider and became stronger than heck.
Could he do that?
He couldn't do that, no. But he said, you know, he thought that he could, you know, there was better things to come for him, that this wasn't the end of the road for him just being a skinny kid who got picked on all the time. So it's a nice speech. The reason I bring it up is Emma Stone talked about a bad flashback she had on the set of The Amazing Spider-Man. She was supposed to be lifted over Andrew's head at one point, and she had a panic attack because she had the same thing in gymnastics when she was a kid.
Right.
And she fell forward and broke both of her arms when she was 7 years old.
Ouch.
And she just could not wrap her head around that position again. There was no way. She kept reliving the horror of it, and they had to bring in a stunt double because she couldn't go through.
Really?
With it.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
That's at 7 years old, that must have been just horrifying and terrifying to fall like that and break both your arms. So.
Tell me about Emma up close on your panel, Ralph. I know you were very much looking forward to having the opportunity to meet her.
Not only is she beautiful, but she could not have been sweeter and more accommodating to everybody backstage. Almost all the stars were this year. Really cool. I was really impressed with Colin Farrell. What a funny, relaxed, charming guy he was.
You think he's too big a star to be that down to
earth. A lot of times you think these people are going to be sort of prickly to deal with, but he was a blast. And he was there for Total Recall. He's remaking the Arnold Schwarzenegger film Total Recall, along with Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel.
Oh.
Who I spent a little time chatting with backstage.
Dude.
When you have those two girls standing next to each other talking to you, it is like looking into the sun for about 15 minutes. You just go blind and you just stumble around for the rest of the evening. Yeah, it was incredible.
Sweet.
And then I hung out with Morena Baccarin, who was the leader of the aliens in V.
Oh, love her.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with her.
She's stunning in person. It was just a babe-a-palooza for me this weekend.
Look, I know we've given Ralph a lot of grief over the years, and even this year, about there are no chicks at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Man, were there chicks at Comic-Con.
Oh, were there.
And the hottest fangirls in the world walking around at Comic-Con. Those outfits, Ralph.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
I accept
like
your
I've
apology.
Been telling you.
I accept
like I've
your
been
apology.
Telling you. Yeah, you were right about that. It was
Kevin,
it was
you were
times.
You were missed.
Right.
Never more so in the fact that I could not be at the interview when Bean was going to be talking to Rachel Nichols.
Oh, no.
And I said, if Kevin is sick and he's not here this weekend, who is going to be here to hold him back, to keep the creepy factor down to a minimum?
You think he was sitting on her lap?
I don't know. I haven't heard the interview yet, but I think it's going to be...
Rachel and I handled it fine. We were fine without any kind of intervening bodies.
I can
bodies.
Only
Come on.
Imagine. I can
You're
only
in love.
Imagine.
You need a watcher. You need somebody to follow you around like a babysitter.
Today's celebrity birthday is Matt LeBlanc of Friends is 44 years old today. Ileana Douglas celebrates her 46th birthday. Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth is 53. And adult film actress Tara Patrick is 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, we love Sal Masekela from the X Games. We love him. We love having him on the show. He's fairly sketchy, though. We're 50-50 with getting him when we're supposed to. But we're still trying. Hopefully we'll talk to him later in the hour. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the way. First, though.
Got an interview that we didn't get a chance to play. It happened after the show on Friday in San Diego for Comic-Con. Comic-Con has become so huge, as you know, Kevin. Yep. Every movie that anyone might ever be interested in seeing ever shows up at Comic-Con. They have a presence. And if you've got a little bit, you know, got a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of a fanboy base, man, you better believe they're there in force. And a lot of people were talking about Conan the Barbarian. This is a reboot of that franchise based on the popular series and novels. Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, played it in the 80s movies. Rachel Nichols is in the film. Rose McGowan is in the film. And Jason Momoa from Game of Thrones. So those are the big stars of the movie. And we got a chance to sit down with Jason and Rachel. Now, you know how much I love Rachel Nichols. This was a very difficult interview for me to do.
Bean spends his entire time tweeting with her, and he believes that is a real relationship.
Mm-hmm. We are very much in love, yeah. Rachel and I, as uh-huh. you know. But hard to believe, I had never met her in person, and she's even more beautiful
Isn't
than I ever could imagine.
Isn't she way better than you could have thought?
So unbelievably hot, so unbelievably sweet, and I have to tell you, in all the years we've been doing this show, we've never had an interview that started quite like this one.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they've got something to say, but nothing comes out when you move your lips, just a bunch of gibberish. I forgot about Dre.
Rachel, that's the best start to an interview I've ever heard in my life.
Yes.
Jason Momoa, Rachel Nichols, Conan the Barbarian, ladies and gentlemen. Why is no one applauding? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Dom?
First of all, Jason, I won't be needing you here today. You can go ahead and take off.
Thank you, sir.
Second of all, what's seems like there's a love connection going on here between you two. What's
Jason
that about?
I'm in love.
This is on the radio, right?
Right.
I'm married. No. We are in love.
I think everybody knows that you're married.
But you are, in fact, in the movie, that's kind of the deal, is you're equals, but very much in love and like, fighting the world together?
Well, no. In the beginning, he clubs me over the head. He abducts me. Apparently, I suffer a little bit of the Stockholm Syndrome because I end up falling for my captor. No, I'm kidding.
I can't even imagine what this kind of movie is like to make, even for an actor, and you guys have both done your fair share of action, but you go into something like this, and it has to feel bigger than anything you've ever done before, not just because of the legend of the character and everything, but just because of the scope of what I've seen from the trailers, it looks like an enormous movie.
This is an epic movie, and when you take on epic, period, something with this big of a following, with this much of a culture behind it, it's extremely intimidating, but it's the spans of it is really it's really impressive.
Does it hurt that this man is now the world's heartthrob because of Game of Thrones before this movie
it
comes out?
It is the best thing that ever happened to Conan. Game of Thrones, best thing ever
Rachel's
happened to Conan.
Never seen it.
I don't have a TV.
Whatever,
you're married. Let's underline that right now.
Whatever.
Wow, this is turning into quite a fight. You know, I haven't seen Game of Thrones either, but everyone I know that's seen it says it's amazing, and B, everyone I know who like went to catch up afterwards, you know, on demand or something like that, they watch about the first 20 minutes and they go, oh my God, I never want to stop watching this show, and they watch all 10 of them in a row.
Yeah, when I read the book, I just couldn't put it down. It took me 4 days. It was beautiful. It's actually the best book I've ever read. So, I mean, that's why the fans are kind of like that. You make an assumption of what these characters, and they flip it on its head. And then they kill him off, and you're like, ah, what? And you're just like, you're
you
spitting
die?
And yelling at the.
Are you spoiling? I haven't seen it yet.
Spoiler alert!
Whatever.
Rachel, why don't you have a TV?
Oh,
it would be one more thing for you to give a name to.
One more thing for me to name, I know. I moved it into a different place. I was living in Malibu, and then I moved back to Beverly Hills.
That was
and
when
I
found that address, the first address, and you had to move.
Yeah.
I remember.
That's when you
had. Exactly.
Now I had to move, and I had to move because of Bean. And then I moved into this other place, and all my stuff was in storage. And I took pieces out piecemeal, and then I realized I was reading a lot more without a TV.
Reading is for losers.
I was reading books again, and
what?
I really enjoyed it. So
you
now I don't need a TV.
You already graduated from college. You're done with that phase of your life.
I know, but I'm now rereading. I'm now rereading all the John Irving books that I loved, and I'm reading some biographies.
Your job is to be pretty, not to read.
Well, I can be pretty while reading.
Well, okay. Wow, you should be offended. You should be offended. She won't even watch your show.
I don't even have a TV. It's very smart of you.
See?
I got two children, man. I don't have time to watch TV.
Jason has the two most beautiful children in the history of the world.
Well, I don't doubt it. Seriously. Okay, so let's talk more about the movie. The movie comes out, I should say, on August the 19th, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
Does that sound right?
Uh-huh.
Do you play, because it's based hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, what's the time, what date is it when this movie's
out? We're not real sure. It's a magical world.
A magical world
a long, long time ago.
But it is before plumbing, and you must be filthy all the time, and that
it's
must be...
Before plumbing and after dinosaurs, somewhere in between.
That Jesus guy was hanging around. Yeah.
So how do they handle you, Rachel, in the movie? Because, you know, you're the hot chick in the film and the love interest and everything. But you have, I mean, imagine how beat chicks must have looked back then with no product. I mean, what do they do to you?
Well, you know, since they do find me in the monastery, which is the purest of locations, I sort of enter the movie in a very pure state and And I'm so pure of heart and innocent that I think that.
She looks good filthy, though.
Ooh.
She looks good filthy.
You look good
wet,
dirty.
You look good dirty.
All right. Our remaining moments here with Jason and Rachel, of course, from Conan the Barbarian. Was you hear Conan the Barbarian's coming back, and many people will go, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Is that something that you just forget about day one when you get on set and see how different this is from those movies?
Oh, absolutely.
We never saw the first one.
Yeah. Either one of us have seen the first one. It's not like to disrespect it at all. It's just we were two.
We just decided that, you know, when
my mother, watched like Rear Window and Gone with the Wind. I was just raised by a single mother. We weren't watching orgies and getting their heads cut off. So, I mean, no offense to that, but I was a huge comic book fan. I love comics. I mean, I'm actually really stoked to be here. But the paintings are what spoke to me. So when you want to give your own perspective to the whole thing. So I just researched. And
Rachel, did you read the books? Did you go back and read the original books?
I'm more visual. I'm a lot along the lines of, you know, of Jason, and he certainly had a much bigger job and to sort of take over. But we both went into it thinking we're doing an updated version. We're going to put our own spin on it. We're both going to see the Arnold movie, and absolutely, we meant no disrespect, but we just wanted to go in sort of blind. And I think that's when you get the best product, when you're not biased by anything or you're not thinking about another performance. And
that reading thing where you use your own imagination, you know, like so.
That reading thing, yeah.
Reading thing. It's like you read a book and you're like, you can't take my images. This is my idea.
Exactly.
Well, I have to say, and I'm sure you won't disagree because we are promoting the film, it looks so effing awesome. I mean, it really does look awesome.
Amazeballs, Awesome Sauce, Crazy Banana Pants.
She said it. Why don't they put that on the poster? That's how you sell a movie.
Right?
You're absolutely right, Bean.
I invent words.
Effing amazing.
Yeah, effing amazing.
Amazing. It is. I'm effing excited.
You should be. Thanks, you guys. We enjoyed talking to you.
Woo! Woo!
Thanks, Bean.
It's a big deal to be at the X Games.
Downhill is good. Here is the jump. Clips it very short. We are outside of the Staples Center. A beautiful night for Moto X. You are not standing up at home. I will get off the couch. Oh, my word! Travis Pastrana just earned his
host of the ESPN X Games.
Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're hooking you up with X Games guests, including Carrie Hart later in the week, Tanner Faust, Chad Kigge, P-Rod's going to be here. But we're always excited to catch up with Sal Masekela, the main man behind the mic for all the coverage. X Games 17 starts Thursday. Hey, Sal, how are you, man?
Here we are now, entertain us.
That's a beautiful,
la, la, la.
That's a beautiful version. Why haven't you made a record? What's up, Sal?
Because I believe that people want to listen to music.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, that's true. Hey, X Games 17. You were down there last night. What did you see that perked your interest this year?
I saw lots of things. The new street course that they built looks like something that was like built by Michael Bay. Like there might be transformers and explosions that come out.
Fantastic!
It looks like if LA was destroyed and skateboarders took over. It looked really, really cool.
Explain the difference this year as far as in the past they've gone down to Home Depot, they've split it in two different locations, and then they did the Coliseum. Now it's all kind of centralized in one location.
Yeah, you just get to come and park now at LA Live, and you don't leave until we let you leave. In years past, you know, you bring the family down for some skateboarding, and then you have to go down to the Home Depot Center for freestyle motocross or best trick. Or last year, you know, we were in a Coliseum. Now it is all centralized there at Staples Center at LA Live. It makes it really, I think it's going to make it really fun, and it's going to allow more people to come out and want to come and stay and hang out. We're going to have rally through the streets of downtown. Travis Pastrana is going to be allowed to race in the streets of downtown LA.
Pretty cool.
Pretty rad. We're bringing the big air ramp back outside in Lot 7. Reminiscent of when we first came back to Los Angeles 8 years ago, and that thing just looks massive. It's going to be amazing.
Do they make that bigger every year, or is that just the same ridiculously high ramp?
Yeah, you know, it's just so ignorantly huge that each year it looks like it's bigger every year, but it's still massive. You know, 70-foot roll and big 70-foot gap into a 27-foot quarter pipe. You do a 20-foot air, and you're 50 feet in the air waving to all of your friends and family.
is all the premier A-level athletes. It seems like, I'm looking at this list here, it seems like everybody's healthy and everybody's in this year, Sal. I mean, what a lineup. My God.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, even to the point that, like, Carey Hart decided that he has to have one more go-around at X Games. I'm really excited about a healthy Travis. I'm sure you guys have been talking about it already, but Travis is going to do best trick in moto, where he's going to try and make that 720 that he didn't make last year. Then Friday, win freestyle. Then hop on a private jet to Indianapolis to go and run in the nationwide event because he's on Waltrip's team.
What's so happening? He's joining NASCAR now, right? That's what we're talking about.
He's in NASCAR, so he's going to fly to Indy, do the nationwide NASCAR race, make like 200,000 left-hand turns, then get back in the private jet, fly home, and do a rally here in LA.
So that's what he's going to do with his night off, is run a NASCAR race.
Yeah, I'm gonna go down there and hook up some left hand turns.
Wow,
this Waltrip car is working amazing. Thank you, and then come back and be an X Games dude. So we're actually gonna try and go what we call in the business picture in picture on Saturday. So you know we'll be at an event on Saturday. Let's say you know we'll be in the middle of Skateboard Bird. Let's go look in picture and see how Travis Pastrana is doing.
That's crazy.
And we'll see Travis doing left hand turns in Indy.
Tell us about the Enduro X. That's the new one this year.
Yeah, Enduro X is going to be inside the Staples Center on Sunday night. And it's basically, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the trials events those guys would have on their bikes in the middle of the forest where they basically are trying to ride over massive obstacles and not put their feet down.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's really crazy.
Yeah, really, really, really crazy. So, and then, you know, enduro racing is really what most of motocross is for the common man. You go out and you ride trails. So it's a combination of trail riding, a little bit of racing, and the trials racing inside the Staples Center. And they basically, it's a steeplechase for dirt bikes.
There's sand, there's mud, there's logs.
Mud, logs, and rocks.
It's just 100 things to ruin their ride.
Yeah, usually, like in Europe and stuff for years, it was a judged event. And a timed event, but now it's the first person across the finish line. There's never been a racing element to it. So these guys are going to line up. They're going to line up, you know, 10 wide, on your mark, get set, go, and then blank, and then try. It's going to try to be the first one to navigate all that stuff, which I think is going to make for plenty of entertaining carnage.
Would you mind repeating the sound of the beginning of the race?
Here they are, 10 wide, blank.
That's Sal making fun of white folks. That's what's going on right there.
And he should be.
Now, that was reverse racism, if I'd ever heard it.
Sal Basquiel is on the phone with us here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about X Games 17. Of course, it starts on Thursday. What are the... I know a lot of people, they like to keep their tricks under their flat bill, so they don't want to reveal what they're going to do. But are you hearing any rumors about, say, the FMX best trick this year, Sal, or anything that you've heard you can share?
You know, I hear things, some things that I'm committed to keep silent. But I know for sure that we're going to, I believe Travis is going to do the 720.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then I'm hearing rumors of, a Cam Sinclair, no-handed double backflip.
Oh, just, that old thing.
Just that? Just let go of the handlebars?
Yeah.
That's
just,
all?
You know, get up there and just let go of your hands, right? That, see what happens.
That doesn't seem possible because it seems like, you know, that trick is based on pulling the handlebars as hard as you can.
Well, you pull really, really hard, and then you go into, like, Turkish equestrian mode where you just squeeze the bike around with your legs.
With your legs.
A lot of inner thigh. You're riding a horse.
But he doesn't have to land without hands, right? I mean, he's going to put his hands back on the land.
Yeah, you
okay.
Put your hands. It's just in the middle.
All right, I'm just checking.
Right. Unbelievable. Listen to this. ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, 25 hours of live HD programming. ESPN3.com will have 23 hours. ESPN3D will telecast 21 hours of live coverage. So there'll be plenty of X Games to see on my TV. And Sal, what did I forget?
You forgot the Ocho.
The Ocho.
Oh, you're going to be on the Ocho. Of course you're going to be on the Ocho, yeah. So you wake up on Thursday morning, and then you basically just stay up until Sunday night. That's your weekend, right?
Yeah, I wake up Thursday morning, and then I just plow through it.
That's
all
sweet.
The way through.
Well, I got to tell you, two things. One is Sal makes it look so effortless. Beat and I have tried to host things before on TV, and it's not as easy as Sal makes it look. And he's a great host for this. And secondly, is tickets start at $5, and I've been every year, and it's a great event to go to live. It's so much fun because you can walk from event to event to event. You just walk 5 minutes, and you're at a whole nother event. I mean, it really is a lot of fun to go down there.
And you know the specialty this year, right?
If you
never wanted to come to X Games before, if you're like, I don't want to be there, it's not my scene, this year, for 1 year only, just next door at the convention center is AdultCon.
AdultCon happens to be down there.
Well, okay then.
That's true. That's true. So your parents will go, hey, you go watch whatever you want to go, and we'll be right back. That's right, where they're going.
So many kids just walking around like, where's my dad?
Yep. Well, I'm telling all the kids right now, that's where your parents are going to be.
All right. Sal, we're out of time. We love you. X Game 17 coverage starts this Thursday. We can't wait. We're looking forward to it. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you guys for the support. I wouldn't have dreadlocks if it wasn't for you.
Well, that's,
all right.
Bye-bye. That's a strange compliment, but thank you. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:42.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up, and then after the top of the hour, Kevin has a story about his X Games event, which is vomiting for distance. First, though, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, our friend Harvey Levin. We are always thrilled to talk to you every Monday. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was great, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. Glad to have you on, as always. What happens in the newsroom in Pop Culture Central when news like the Amy Winehouse story breaks on Saturday? What's the procedure? What do you guys do?
Well, I mean, some people are in the office, but a lot of times, you know, we're all out and doing things, and everybody just kind of gets on the phone, and people, you know, make phone calls, and we don't do it from inside the office necessarily. But I thought, I have a 21-year-old kid who's here who is just a rock star this weekend, who did such a good job. He's still in college.
Yeah.
And he's
working for TMZ. Wow.
He's worked for us for a year. I mean, he couldn't drink when he started here.
Sweet.
But you got...
He's so good.
You got him to drink, though, right?
Now, so you don't have, like...
He's been in rehab now twice.
Everyone doesn't get the 911 text on their phone?
You know, it's funny. It circulates fast.
Yeah.
The staff did good this weekend.
Tell me about the... I don't understand why the police went so far out of their way to say that Amy Winehouse's death was unexplained and they didn't know that it was drugs, so don't jump to conclusions. I mean, come on.
Well, look, I mean...
Technically, they're correct, but
junkies can die of other things.
Of course, but do they?
Some, you know, on rare occasion.
Natural, you know, a natural way of...
Well, natural as in, like, you've wrecked your heart and it exploded one day.
I mean,
right,
come
right.
on.
What's I mean, we, look, we put up a story on Saturday that we were told by a source that are connected with it all that that there are certainly suspicions of drug use, but they're not ready to draw the conclusion yet. So
I guess technically they can't because they're officials, but we certainly can.
You know, I got to tell you something. We put these polls up over the weekend. We do this thing where we put 9 polls up on really hot topics, and we let people kind of, you know, weigh in. 500,000 people voted on these polls this weekend. It was really incredible.
Right.
And I was really shocked at this. It's like, is Amy Winehouse going to be remembered as a great singer or a junkie? And I'm not in front of the computer now, but I think it was something like 68% of the people said junkie.
I think so, too.
But they were really unforgiving in a way that they were never unforgiving about Michael Jackson, say. Well, remember when Michael Jackson died, everybody forgot about all of the stuff in his life that was negative, and everybody said, oh, my God, he's a huge talent.
Right.
And things they weren't saying during his life. With her, when you look at these polls, and they're on the website right now, it's... almost uniformly, one by one by one, unkind to Amy Winehouse.
I think it's because she publicly was a disaster, publicly was a drug addict, publicly, and it happened for months and months and years even, that she was, that's why she was in the news. Michael Jackson led a private life. You might have had your suspicions, but you didn't know anything about propofol or anything else until it came out.
Then answer me this. How do you explain Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison?
What do you mean, how do you explain?
They were notoriously known drug addicts. when they were alive.
Well, because I think the difference was, and this was what my beef was with all the people. Yeah, it's worth a mention that she was 27. But all the people who are trying to add her to the 27 Club in terms of being legendary rock musicians who are now dead, she's not anywhere near that level of talent or contribution. She was never a Kurt Cobain or Jim Morrison or Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin. She just wasn't. I mean, she was, in retrospect, she'll end up being a one-hit wonder. 50 years from now, people probably won't remember Amy Winehouse. They're certainly going to remember all the others on that list. So, all right, we're almost out of time, Harvey. Unfortunately, our bad this time. We got to you late. But you got an interesting story that I'm not seeing anywhere else. LaToya versus Catherine, speaking of Michael Jackson. What's this about?
So LaToya's been saying for a while now that she thinks the estate, Michael Jackson's estate, was responsible for the death of Michael. So Catherine, in a really unusual statement, came out and said there's no evidence, not a shred of evidence, to support that.
Right.
So it's really kind of a split between Catherine and LaToya, and that's something Catherine generally doesn't do. And she really hasn't been a friend to the estate. So it's just interesting at this point that she would come to the defense of the estate and say something like this. It's a turn in this case that I haven't seen.
You know what's funny, though, is who do you trust more? Do you trust Catherine or do you trust LaToya?
Yeah.
I mean, really, Catherine wins, game over.
Yeah, you know, that's a toughie.
TMZ.com is the website you want to check out. TMZ on television. Check your local listings. There's so much great stuff. You guys were very busy over the weekend. You got to see the David Hasselhoff story.
And also
the very latest on what's going on with Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid. The white one that he acknowledges. That's the story that it's about. So go to TMZ.com. And when in Hollywood, you and your friends definitely take the TMZ tour. You'll love it. Harvey, great catching up with you, man. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, guys.
Ralph Garman is here.
Yeah.
As he is every hour with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Ralph, I enjoyed hanging out with you down in San Diego. Good
time,
Spence.
Well, that makes one of us.
Okay. And it's back to reality now.
Back to life. Back to reality.
Don't do it.
Just did it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was fun. You were on your best behavior, I thought, this weekend.
I'm going to tell you that, you know,
I was amazed at your restraint during the Rachel Nichols interview. I really
was. I behaved myself, didn't I?
Yes.
Well, you know what it was is that she walked into the room and immediately, like her handler was trying to tell her something, and she basically pushed the person out of the way and ran up to me and gave me the biggest hug, and we had a chance to chat for a few minutes before we actually sat down to do the interview. So I think I got a lot of the gushing out.
Was it the lean from afar hug, or I don't think so.
Oh. No, she was into it. No, she's awesome.
I'm not talking about Bean, but she strikes me as the kind of girl that gives you the girls when she hugs. You know what I mean? Tight, full tight.
But to Bean,
she was great.
Would she do that to Bean?
Well, I don't think she knows everything about him.
She knows enough.
She knows enough to be desperately in love with me, and I feel the same way about her. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But I was going to say, we're so used to grumpy Ralph who hates everything. Then you go down to Comic-Con, and he loves everything. And all of a sudden, Ralph is just so excited and so happy to be there and having the time of his life, because all we're talking about is stuff that's right in his wheelhouse. He didn't have to put up any of our BS. We're not calling imaginary animals on a wheel or anything like that.
Let's talk about my sheep and their shearing.
Right.
That never comes up.
Was it like that? So it was a whole different side of Ralph to see how engaged and happy he was as a broadcaster.
Those are my people.
That's right, man.
Amongst my people. Now I'm back here.
Amongst your friends.
Amongst whatever this is. Pukey McWindow over there, and I got Diet Ginger Ale to my left, and I got the lunatic on the island. It's just, I envy that World War II vet who was beaten every day and fed rice. He had a better life. He had a better daily life that mug got out of him in that red carpet than I have in a regular place.
It was an amazingly in-depth interview.
Amazing. We are playing that again for you in a few minutes. It's gold,
kids. You have to hear Mug's interviews on the red carpet of Captain America. Because
he practically killed a hero is what he practically did on the red carpet.
Some interview skills he's got. Speaking of red carpet world premieres, I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of The Change Up, new comedy starring Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? It looks high to the hilarious. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through, boom, passes, red carpet world premiere. You, Jason Bateman, Ryan Reynolds.
Is high to the hilarious? Is that in the trial stage, or have we accepted that as you're good with it?
I certainly hope so, because I've got a bunch of bumper stickers that have been printed up that are going to be going nowhere if that doesn't take off.
Okay.
Someone's on the back of your car right now, Kevin. I took the liberty of putting a high to the hilarious bumper sticker on your car.
Speaking of movies, we take a look at the top 10 movies every Monday morning at the box office. Captain America did very well for itself, $65.8 million in its opening weekend. I love that movie. I hope more people go to see it. I really enjoyed it. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 was second with $48 million. Then Friends with Benefits rounding out the top three. Transformers and Horrible Bosses, Zookeeper, Cars 2, Winnie the Pooh, Bad Teacher, and Midnight in Paris are your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Amy Winehouse was found Saturday in her London apartment, the apparent victim of a drug overdose. No word yet on exactly what killed her, but the autopsy results are pending tomorrow. We should have that information, so we'll know more. But sad news.
Not a shock, unfortunately.
No, I don't think anyone said, what?
Yeah, that's sad, too.
Her mom said it was a matter of time. So when your own parents recognize that you're that far gone.
Her dad said he already wrote the eulogy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
Sad. Comic-Con was great this past weekend. A lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool information came out of there, including the fact that Steven Spielberg, who was at his first ever Comic-Con this weekend, by the way. Isn't that something?
How did he go over with that crowd, Ralph?
They gave him a smattering of respectful applause, I heard. That's what I... Or a thunderous standing ovation. I can't remember which one it was. He broke the news that he's working on Jurassic Park 4. New installment to the movie franchise based on the Michael Crichton books. We have a story I can happily announce. He told the crowd, we have a writer who is writing the treatment, and hopefully we're going to make Jurassic Park 4 in all of your foreseeable futures, hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years. So,
did I miss out by not seeing any of those movies?
You missed out by not seeing one.
First two I thought were really good.
The second one was good?
Yeah, I like the second one too. Third, not so much.
Third, you didn't miss much.
I just hope they put crystal skulls in this one. If they put crystal skulls with the dinosaurs, then they're going to have a hit on their hands.
Why can't they wipe out the dinosaurs? It seems like, aren't they confined to an island? It seems like there shouldn't be a Jurassic Park 4 because by now they should have figured out a way to kill them all.
Why don't you try to kill a dinosaur, Spina Bifida, and see how it goes? It's not easy. Okay? They're dinosaurs.
Yeah, but aren't they in a limited geographic area? It seems like it would be possible.
Yeah, but they also are enormously strong and have razor-sharp teeth.
But we have weapons. I may need to see the movies. I may not understand the concept.
No, I would continue to argue things you know nothing about. I think that would be your best course of action. That should be your course of action.
You don't think we could kill a dinosaur? Come on, Ralph. This is the 21st century. Yeah, we can kill a dinosaur.
We don't happen to have an army on the same island as the dinosaurs.
Right, but we have airplanes and helicopters.
What happens when the power goes out and you can't transmit it from the island?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can't get
a
message off the island. That's what we're all saying. You can't let the people know.
The problem is the power goes down, and so all of the fail safes that keep the dinosaurs in check go wrong because the power's out on that island. So you cannot get a message to anyone who has an airplane off of the island, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So what do you do then, smart guy?
I guess we'll find out.
I am not a winner.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I guess we'll find out in Jurassic Park 4.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ileana Douglas is 46 years old today. Actor Matt LeBlanc turns 44. Adult film actress Tara Patrick is 35 years old.
Yummy.
And Thurston. Let me add that on the list of clips that should not be.
Yummy. Kevin,
was that high to the hilarious?
That is a sloppy, noisy, pointless clip is what you have there.
I don't know what that is.
We'll take it off. No. They can go away.
I like it more than I thought.
Yummy. Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Yummy.
What's happening?
I don't know. Back to you, Ralph. See what I mean? I was at Comic-Con with my people. Now this is what I'm reduced to. This is what I'm back doing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned.
Let's relive the worst possible day of your life.
No, tell me, Ulster.
We're on a red carpet for a movie.
That's amazing.
Let's discuss.
I used to get
they beat me every day, and I'd get just a bowl of rice.
What did they
eat.
Beat you with?
Well, they'd take another prisoner, and they would beat me with him. And then it would be my turn. I'd be used as the weapon, and he would be the victim.
Was that fun?
No, it was the most heinous, most disgusting time of my life.
That's amazing.
I still wake up in cold sweats and have horrible nightmares about it.
That's amazing!
The only thing worse than the Nazi concentration camp that he survived was being interviewed by Beer Mug on the red carpet.
Oh, sweet.
That was Captain America to be fighting alongside. That doesn't exist, a comic book character, though you were in the real war.
What was that question?
What?
Now, you know,
you know your audience if you expect him to be able to ad-lib an answer to fighting with Captain America 65 years ago. That's good work. All right. I don't want to move on from that, but we must. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. What's going on?
Well, we're talking about Cap. He did very well for himself at the box office this weekend. $65.8 million made Captain America the First Avenger number one at the box office. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 came in at number two with $48 million. Then Friends with Benefits, the new romantic comedy with Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. $18.5 million made it number three. Transformers Dark of the Moon was fourth. Horrible Bosses was fifth. Zookeeper, Cars 2, Winnie the Pooh, Bad Teacher, and Midnight in Paris rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. We're down at Comic-Con this weekend. Well, the exception of Kevin, who was busy vomiting on various beds in his house. But not all the good news coming out of Comic-Con was good news, sadly, this weekend.
Why? What happened?
We found out that Warner Brothers is moving its release date for Man of Steel, the new Superman movie.
Yeah.
It was really supposed to be Christmas of 2012. Now it will be June 2013.
What's the difference?
Mm. Now it's summer 2 years from now.
Yeah, but then,
not next summer, but the summer after
you
that.
You said it was Christmas next year. What's the difference?
6 months of waiting. That's what it is.
Aren't movies that are coming out Christmas of this year too far in the future to talk about or think about?
No, not when it's Superman, bitches.
All right. So
just because Comic-Con is over, don't think, oh, no, let's not talk about cool geek stuff anymore. Wrong.
Well, that depends. Are we going to talk about the summer of 2013?
We've all been looking forward to Superman for so long now. We had to suffer through that horrible Bryan Singer movie. Or whatever his name is. Is it Bryan Singer, the director?
Yeah, yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that was
it. You're going to have to wait a little longer.
Then. No.
They don't have any really old people in that movie, do they, that's coming out in 2013?
I hope not, no.
Yeah.
Did you fight with Superman in Vietnam? Mug's new question on the red carpet. Mila Kunis is in the new movie Friends with Benefits out this weekend. She says that she didn't do her own nude scenes in the film.
That's BS.
They had to cast a stunt double for her ass. Had to get an ass double.
What can possibly be wrong with her ass?
Nothing. She just didn't want to show it. What's wrong with you? You think she's got a flawed ass?
I don't at all. That's why I'm surprised that she would need a body double.
Why do you think someone has a body double?
Well, usually it's because, you know, they've got something they're hiding. They want to hire somebody who looks better.
They don't want to be naked on the screen.
What I'm saying.
Where are you from? What planet do you live on?
It makes him mad.
Lisa will back me up on this. There are lots of girls who've been asked to do nude scenes who have said, oh, I've got cellulite or I don't like the way that part of my leg looks or something like that. And they ask for a body double.
That's not why they do it, because they don't want to be naked.
And I don't think any woman is completely secure about her body.
She needs to be naked is my point. I am against a body double for Mila Kunis.
Just pretend.
Take it easy.
It's just a movie, so just pretend.
Just take it easy.
Do you think she gets naked at home?
They had a cast.
I am not a winner.
They had a casting call for the body double, so the director and Mila and a makeup artist all had to sit there and watch actresses moon them all day until they found the ass they
liked. That's a casting session.
That
right
is
there.
What I want to, yes.
I want to see that.
Can I get a bunch of hot girls in here and show me their ass, please?
See it on Showtime.
I'll choose the best ass in the room. That'll be my job today. What do you say? Good times. The Jimi Hendrix biography film that had been planned for many, many years, starring Andre 3000 of Outkast, has been shelved. It's not going to happen. Looks like Jimmy's sister, Janie, who runs his estate, has decided not to release the rights to Jimmy's music to the film producers. And they can't make a movie without Jimmy's music, so that's on hold. There is a documentary in the works, though, that she has authorized, so we'll be seeing that soon. But we won't see the fictionalized biopic about Jimi Hendrix anytime soon. We're going to have to wait and see on that one. That's sad news. I think he'd be a good Jimmy.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a lot of excitement and drama in that man's short life to make a great movie, too.
I think he died at 27, too.
He sure
did. While we're talking about the Amy Adams.
Choked on his own vomit, Kevin.
Amy Adams.
We love that.
I was thinking Amy Adams because she's in that Superman movie that's coming out in June in 2013. Right.
It's clear. We love her and she's still alive.
That's right. Yes, all is well. Steven Spielberg said there's going to be Jurassic Park 4 at Comic-Con this weekend. We have a story I can happily announce. He told the crowd. We have a writer who's writing the treatment and hopefully we're going to make Jurassic Park 4 in all of your foreseeable futures. Then he corrected himself, all of our foreseeable futures, because he's old. He could die. Hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years, so you got that to look forward to. And congratulations to Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He got married this weekend to his fiancée, Ashley Harlan. She didn't initially want to marry him, but he just roughed her up until she said yes.
Oh.
See, he's been known to... Oh, never
mind. He has
been
known, yeah.
Teen Mom news. You guys watch the Teen Mom on MTV?
Do not.
Not even a little bit.
Caitlin Lowell and Tyler Baltierra got kicked out of their apartment this week. The longtime couple, it's said, are the most mature couple on the show.
Oh, good.
That's saying something. That's like winning the gold medal at the Special Olympics, isn't it? They had their own apartment. $450 a month was the cost of rent, but they could not afford it, and they have been evicted.
Couldn't afford it?
Reportedly, they gave up the child that they had to adoption. So they no longer have a child with them, so that's the upside. At least the kid's not out in the street.
But Dr. Drew was the father of that one, right?
Yes, isn't
that
he
what
was.
We decided?
Yes.
Incorrect.
Mm-hmm. He knocked out most of them.
Yeah, it's not correct.
That's what I think. I didn't see Rehab this weekend because of Comic-Con. We were kind of had a busy weekend, but apparently Michael Lohan and...
It's about half of it.
He threatened to walk. He threatened to boot, right?
Yeah.
He's not, he had a meltdown.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he throw a TV remote at some kid's head again? Was that part of the problem?
He's a dumbass.
Take a look today's celebrity birthdays. Tara Patrick. She is an adult film actress and quite a good one. She's 35 years old today. Matt LeBlanc turns 44 years old. Ileana Douglas is 46. Remember that scene? Every time I think of Ileana Douglas, I think of that scene in Cape Fear with Robert De Niro. Do you remember the scene I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Where she's having sex with him.
Oh, yeah.
And he bites her on the face. One of those disturbing scenes I've ever seen. Ugh. Can't get it out of my head. 46 years old today. Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Bethany Hamilton, who's talking about her new DVD, Soul Surfer.
Hey, Soul Surfer, play that Murfer Murfer.
That's Soul Sister. Different, what? Different song, Ralph.
Oh, that I love Murfer, that song.
Murfer.
Yeah.
Murfer Murfer.
Also, the X Games kickoff party. We've also got Kerry Hart, speaking of the X Games. He's going to be competing again.
Don't say it, Ralph. I know you want to.
I'm not saying
the urge.
Thing. I'm just saying.
And from Linkin Park, we've got Mike Shinoda.
Great. My son.
Don't say it.
It's not a Linkin Park
song. Sorry, did I do that out loud?
And by the way, also, I'm so glad you brought this up, Ralph, about Mila Kunis and the body double, because Kevin was thinking, I bet we have a lot of people listening who are on the fringes of the entertainment industry, or maybe
they're
started
not on
out
fringe.
This way.
Mila Kunis isn't on fringe. Why would that even be? Why would you even bring that up?
But have been a body double in a movie
or a hand double
show.
Or an elbow or an ass or breasts, perhaps.
You know what I mean?
Breasts.
You're right there.
Getting excited.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're going to be looking for those people. I guess guys can call too, but we're looking for those people who have been body doubles in movies for stars. So that's going to be fun, I think, too.
Yes, it will. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.